Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Hopefully you had a wonderful Memorial Day holiday weekend. Time to get back at it. It's going to be a long week, I suppose, for some of you. You'll be messed up all week, but today is Tuesday. We've had some showers to the south of us. Showers are in our forecast, but we likely won't see those until this afternoon or tonight if we do see that activity. 73 for our high temp today, wind south 5 to 10. Right now, it's partly cloudy, 51 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the south at 6 miles an hour. Fargo MVETs held a flag retirement ceremony on Memorial Day. Flags that were old and tattered were burned and properly disposed of. That ceremony was held in the Fleet Farm parking lot as part of Taps Across America. Fargo police are still investigating the death of a man whose body was found in a wooded area in Oak Grove Park. Someone fishing on the river came across the unresponsive man Sunday afternoon and called 911. Officers arrived and determined the man was dead. It's not known how he died. An autopsy is being conducted. The man's name has not been released yet, and police are still investigating. A West Fargo man convicted of murdering his wife claims his Sixth Amendment rights were violated because two witnesses testified remotely. Spencer Moan wants the Supreme Court to toss out his conviction and allow him to be retried. The testimony he and his attorney claim violated his rights came from his children who are minors, Moan serving life without the possibility of parole. Williston police are searching for a missing boy who may be with his father. 11-year-old Zayden Gilbert was reported missing May 22nd after his mom was unable to contact him or his father. Anyone with information on the boy's whereabouts should call Williston police. A Bismarck man's accused of luring minors through social media. 25-year-old Adam Geffery is accused of messaging a teen saying he would meet them for sex. Bismarck police say they found condoms in Geffery's car when they arrested him. And free rides are now available for Minot military members and their dependents who are too impaired to drive. The Safe Rides program was launched to provide safe and confidential rides and will not be reported to leadership. That program is staffed by volunteers. Late night for some sports fans. I made it to halftime. Minnesota Timberwolves, Jace Denman. It was not looking pretty.
No, it wasn't, Bonnie. They just couldn't – the loose balls they couldn't track down. I mean, Ant and Randall just were not at the top of their game. They had a lot of contributions off the bench, mainly Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He had 23 points. Jaden McDaniels, the lone starter that really kind of stepped up once again. He had 22 points and 4 steals. Dante DiVincenzo, 21 points off the bench. Naz Reid had 11. Anthony Edwards ended up with 16. He only had 4 at the half. Rudy Gobert had 13. But Timberwolves lose 128-126. They now trail the series 3-1.
Yeah.
Game 5 is Wednesday at 7:30 on ESPN. And I hate to break it to you folks, but this is not looking good. Unless there is a masterful comeback, this series is... There's a very good, I'd say, well over 60% chance that this series is wrapped up in Oklahoma City on Wednesday. I really felt that in this series, especially after you lost the first two, you had to get to 2 wins before Oklahoma City got the 3. You got that big win on Saturday, and then last night you just balls. You just, like I said, you weren't able to track down the loose balls. They got second chance opportunities. Chet Holmgren was having a monster game for him. Jalen Williams was just all over the place as well. The Wolves had 21 turnovers.
Disappointing, yeah.
19 of them in that first 3 quarters. So they only had 2 in that fourth quarter while they made a little bit of a comeback. Every time they got within 1, 2, or 3 points, Oklahoma City had the answer. So just disappointing to get back to the Western Conference Finals and have different style of losing but still losing in the conference finals. You're trying to make it to your first NBA Finals ever, so... Minnesota Twins didn't really help anything last night in the Minnesota sports world. A 3-run and a 4-run inning cost the Twins in a 7-2 series opening loss in Tampa on Monday night. Chris Paddock gave up 2 earned runs over 5 1/3, eventually took the loss. Brock Stewart gave 1 run over 2 1/3, and Justin Topa had an inning and a half scoreless innings pitch. Carlos Correa did hit a 2-run homer, his 4th of the season. Minnesota and Tampa will continue their series tonight. First pitch scheduled for 6:05. Joe Ryan will be the starting pitcher for the Twins. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks were in Gary, Indiana, to take on the Gary South Shore Railcats. They edged them 3-1 in a pitcher's duel. Tyler Jandrin only gave up one run over 6 1/3 with 10 strikeouts. He got the win. Jake Dykoff tossed 2 1/3 of a shutout inning, followed by a scoreless inning by Parker Harm. Alex DeBoer picked up the save with a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Peter Brookshaw, Brendan Dadson, and Luis Perez Jr. each drove in a run in that game. Redhawks and Railcats continue their series this evening with first pitch scheduled for 6:45 p.m. The lone highlight of Minnesota sports yesterday, Bonnie?
Yeah.
The Minnesota Frost, the women's professional hockey team, mm-hmm. is now back-to-back league champions. They won the series against Ottawa 2-1 in overtime last night, mm-hmm. and they win that series 3-1. So they are back-to-back cup champions. So
I'll probably try to maybe check them mm-hmm. out someday. I haven't watched yet.
I think the season is a little bit short. So when that happens, you know, Minnesota's record, because they do the Olympic standings where they go wins, overtime wins, losses, overtime or overtime losses and losses. So it's got like four columns, so it's a bit tougher. But you know, they're about a 500 ball club during the season, and then when they got to the playoffs, they just do what they do best and they win. So another championship for the Minnesota Frost. So there's the silver lining in last night. Tonight in the East and in the NBA. I can say it now. New York Knicks, Indiana Pacers tip off at 7 p.m. Indiana leads that series 2-1. Tonight in hockey in the Western Conference, Edmonton and Dallas, puck drop at 7 p.m. Oilers lead the series 2-1. Last night, Carolina finally got a win in the series. They beat the Panthers 3-0. They still trail that series 3-1. And tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, you can tune into Primetime Sports with Big Game James McCarty and myself.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. Could see some hit or miss showers or thunder showers. That'll be this afternoon or tonight if we do see that rain activity. 73 for our high. Winds south 5 to 10. 49 the overnight low. Tomorrow partly cloudy. Chance of a stray shower. 73 for the high. And then we're going to start warming things up. Thursday mostly sunny. 78 for the high. West winds 5 to 15. Friday through Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. I thought it was hot yesterday afternoon.
It felt pretty warm.
It was
warm.
Really hot. Yeah. My husband was outside, like, laying in the sun all afternoon. He's like, it's hot. Like, I was grilling and stuff. It's like 5-10 minutes outside here and there. It was enough for me. But, yeah, I didn't care for it. And I think maybe 76 was our high somewhere around there yesterday.
It wasn't super hot, but it felt like it. Like, my vehicle was sitting outside when I went to the gym. And, you know, you get back into the vehicle and you're like, it's pretty hot in here.
That's what I think,
you know,
too.
So mm-hmm. It's only going to get hotter.
Exactly. For those of you that love the heat, it's coming mm-hmm. back. Not 90s yet that I see, but at least into the 80s. Partly cloudy. We have 51 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios. High atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, 6 miles an hour. It is 5:08. We are going to get you updated on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:15 on a Tuesday morning. Good morning to you. Thanks for being here. Bonnie and friends, WDAY Radio, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We'll have Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your weather coming up at the top of the hour. But for the most part, looking like a very nice week. Just some slight chances of rain later on today and then early tomorrow morning. But otherwise, we'll be warming into the 80s as we get into the weekend. Right now, partly cloudy. We have 51 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo, south winds at 6. Question of the morn, when's the last time you used an actual flashlight? I'm not talking the one on your phone, which a lot of us, I think, use nowadays. The last time you used an actual flashlight, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Tuesday morning, Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Was a lovely weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed your time with family, friends, whatever you happen to be doing for the long holiday weekend. It was great. Saw some clouds throughout the morning hours, but I think locally I didn't see any rain at all here locally. It clouded up pretty good. When we were on the air yesterday morning.
Yeah,
it was cloudy.
I didn't.
I don't think we got any rain over in West Fargo, but, you know, there was a couple times it kind of clouded up, and you're like, okay, well, maybe we'll get something, and it just stayed away. So.
And I looked at the radar screen early this morning. It looked like there were some showers down South Dakota and areas south and east of us. We do have potential for some showers today, just a slight chance of that. Looks like maybe if we do see that, it'll be late this afternoon into this evening. Dino puts it, I guess he's upped it a little bit. He puts it at 50% chance. So kind of like hit and miss type shower activity. Yeah. And 70 for our high, 70 for a couple of days here. And then we're working into the 80s Friday through Monday. We'll see high temps in the 80s. The 70s are nice. We kind of missed the 70s. We went from like, what, mid 40s into the 90s, and it totally avoided the 70s for a while.
Yeah, we came back then down from the 90s down to, into the 50s and rainy. And then I don't know exactly what the whole weather was this past weekend, but obviously, you know, I was out in Rapid, which we ended up having more mid-50s weather out there. So it's kind of like, I would have liked a week or so, maybe more of, you know, having like low 70s. But, you know,
low
70s, yes. We didn't really get much of a chance for that. So.
We do have it today and tomorrow, low 70s, about 73 the next couple of days here, 78 on Thursday as we get warmer, and then into the 80s with sunshine Friday through Monday. So if we see those hit and miss showers today and into tomorrow morning, that's about all it for the rain for the next week here. So you have to water your lawn and water your gardens or flowers or whatever you need to do. Right now, partly cloudy. We have 51 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Question of the morning, when is the last time you used an actual flashlight? Not talking the one on your cell phone, like you actually grabbed a flashlight. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I just popped into my head one day when I was thinking of questions, and it's like, I have not used an actual flashlight, I bet, in 7-10 years.
Do you have an actual flashlight?
Yeah, we have a bunch of them. Maybe my husband has in the garage for little jobs or something. But no, if I need a flashlight, I do. Why wouldn't you just turn on your cell phone? It's right there in your pocket.
I probably use that more often, but a lot of times, you know, I've got a really good flashlight from my last job. So I have that sitting over at my desk. So if I need to try and find something, it's just it's a brighter light, and it just, you know, it works a bit better. So I'll use that if I really need to. But yeah, I mean, it's depending on the time of year, and if it's wintertime and things get darker sooner, I mean, yeah, there might be more of a chance you need a flashlight. But I mean, I probably use my flashlight at home just as much as I use the flashlight on the phone. It depends on
where fix-it projects type things, right?
Yeah, it depends on where I'm at and what I'm doing. I mean, like when I had to fiddle with my wash machine this fall, you know, before I got the new one, it was like I would use that one all the time. So
Maybe it's just me. Like I said,
I think so.
The flashlight's right there on the phone. The phone's always in my hand or pocket. Why not just grab the flashlight on my phone rather than having to run upstairs and get a flashlight? And the batteries probably don't even work in the flashlights that we have sitting around. Haven't used them in so long. Susie says she has a small flashlight in the summer. She puts it in her mouth, and it's basically her headlight for her old golf cart.
There you go.
Not pretty, but she says it works. That's, you know, with the holiday weekend, a lot of people were at the lake, so several people say, do headlamps count? Yeah. Ella used a headlamp last night. Doug, our trucking friend, too, I suppose. Maybe he has to tinker on the hood of his semi. He used a headlamp, too.
I mean, it's a headlamp, but that's just basically a flashlight with the strap attached to so you could attach it to your head. So, yeah.
And, yeah, if you're going on a little trek hiking through the woods, too, at night, it's nice. Or you're you know, maybe at a campground somewhere and you want to go visiting, it's kind of nice to have those little headlamps.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a flashlight, but I would – I know on the flashlight I had, we had the normal little light bulb in it, and then we switched it out to like an LED light bulb in it. That thing is so bright. I remember walking down the street with it when I would walk Luna in the summertime or spring or whatever it was when it would get dark out. And so I'm walking down the street with it, and people are like, can you not shine that over here? Because it's like, you know, one of those police type of flashlights that can light up, you know, a mile away. So, and then it's got a rechargeable battery to it. So it works really well, and it's good for walks and stuff. So if you're out walking your dog at night or something like that, you should have a flashlight just so that way people can see you, et cetera.
Well, that and the fact that, because I notice that I walk a lot in the daytime, right? how many holes you'll come across or just big doofs in the cement and stuff. That can be dangerous if you are walking at night and you're not seeing those areas.
Yeah, if you don't see something, I mean, or you know, maybe you're just, you know, you're walking in this area where it's a bunch of trees and you're not really paying attention. So, yeah, you could easily trip, fall. Mm-hmm. Maybe you hear something over here and maybe it's just a bunny rabbit or something, but you're not sure what it is. So you can just shine that light over there and you see the little eyeballs reflecting back. You're like, oh, okay, it's just a bunny rabbit.
Boa constrictor or anything.
No,
like
not a boa constrictor in the middle of the road. Yeah.
When's the last time you used an actual flashlight? That's our question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends. 701-293-9000. You're the important part of the show. You guys are the friends, and we love to hear from you. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. Find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning, you two. How are you?
We are pretty good. Are you a flashlight user, or do you just have one on your cell phone that you use?
No, I rarely use one on the cell phone, but I take my dog for a walk, and I always take mine with me.
Oh, do you?
It's one of those large battery ones. So it's a club, too, as well, if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. You never know. Do you and your dogger walk that's a lot at night or early in the morning before the sun comes up?
Early in the morning, yeah, there's a good place for me to walk, but it should be on the safe side.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, there's a lot of uneven sidewalk, or sometimes there's, you know, if you're off the sidewalk, there's a lot of holes out there or ruts and stuff, and it's easy to easy to twist an ankle or break a leg if you hit one of those and you don't see it.
Well, I think the thing to do is to have an inventory on what you have, and if you haven't used one for a long time and your husband hasn't, check it out. It may be maybe to the point where it's garbage.
Yeah. Well, he probably has some in the garage that he uses. I said, I think a lot of times, like if you're doing a little tinkering or home fix-it project, then an actual flashlight comes in pretty handy. But for my purposes, I just use my cell phone for everything.
Bonnie's asleep when it's dark out anyway.
My cell phone never leaves my hand, so...
But it's good. That's smart.
Yeah.
There you go.
Polly, have a good day.
Friday was the day that I used it.
Okay, there you go. Well, you have a good day today. When is the last time you used an actual flashlight? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Bonnie says she uses hers a lot. Janet doesn't even own one. She says she's never needed one or used one. I wonder if she's got one. If she's obviously has a cell phone, but I wonder if she knows there's a flashlight on the cell phone and if she uses it, or she just has no need for a battery.
Well, maybe sometimes when that certain item, that sock falls behind the wash machine, you can't quite see it because it's dark behind there. It's just gone.
Yeah, they just disappear anyway. Maybe not even behind the washer. Where do they go?
I don't know.
Just wonder that?
There's always just one sock missing, and then, you know, it's... there was a comedian that did a bit about it. It's just like, do you think those socks are just like, you know, clinging to the side of the door, just hoping not to be seen, so then they can just scoot off like a little snail, you know?
I don't know.
Or their special place.
Yeah.
The land of one socks.
Because you can look and look and look, and it's like, where the heck did it go? And then you never do find. Yeah. I have no idea what happens with that. When's the last time you used an actual flashlight? 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. It took me like a long time. I mean, I had probably a few cell phones before I even realized, oh, there's a flashlight on there. And once I discovered my flashlight, it's like, oh, is that ever handy?
Bonnie's walking around shining in people's faces. Look, my phone has a flashlight.
No, usually...
It's so bright.
No, usually it's like you're in your car and you drop something, it slides in between the seats. Mm-hmm. It's so annoying, especially... Yeah. Like, I've got black carpet, of course, in my everything in my vehicle's black. Yeah. I remember once losing my cell phone in between the seats.
Yeah.
And was pulled in my driveway. Can't find it. And of course, I don't have my flashlight because my cell phone is somewhere in the crack, you know? And I have the outside light on. I've got, you know, open the door. I'm looking. Had to run in the house. Had to get a flashlight, actually an actual flashlight out and look for it. It took me a long time to find it because the phone itself was black. The carpet's black. Everything in the car is black. And it just got in that spot.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what did I drop down there? It was on Friday when I swung over to Cashwise to pick up some burgers, Golden Drive homeless kids, or excuse me, brats and dogs. My daughter happened to video call. Logan and I were pulled over, and she did a video call with us. And so Logan's holding his phone, and we're chatting. I dropped something, and it's like I was trying to get it out from between my seat.
Yeah.
My hand got stuck in there. And it took, I mean, it was stuck. I'm like,
look if there's not enough room, Bonnie, to get your hand down there, don't be shoving your hand down there.
Well, I knew what it was. It was a little tiny, like, pill container that had Rolaids in it that I must have dropped on my last road trip. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. So I was trying to get it out. Mm-hmm. And then I was, like, schnookering my seat forward. And then my hand really got stuck. And then I couldn't move it back. It took me a good 2-3 minutes to get my hand unstuck from there. I don't know why. It's like, why do they have to make that gap so tight there? Because all of us drop stuff down there.
I know. Well, then I've seen like infomercials or just quick commercials where you can buy these things that go in between your seat and that center console so that way stuff doesn't fall down
which
is a good invention, obviously.
I guess. One time we were at the, speaking of dropping things, we were at the lake and we had just one of those flat decks, you know, a couple inches off the ground or whatever. And I happened to be monkeying around with one of my rings and it slipped down in the cracks.
Oh, no.
But I had one of those little grabber tools, you know, where you can, it's got the long thing and then you like pull it and it, one of my friends actually managed to fish the ring out from under the deck. Otherwise, we would have had to take the whole deck apart to look for the ring. So stuff like that happens. When is the last time you used an actual flashlight, not the one on your phone, an actual flashlight? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids says just yesterday, under the bed, looking for his wife's lost remote. That's another thing, the remotes, right?
Yes.
How do those get so lost sometimes?
I will be sitting, especially during the cooler months when, you know, I finally got back and home, and I'm sitting on my favorite spot near the fireplace, and I've got my blanket there on top of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little black remote for the Fire TV, right? It'll control your TV and everything. And so you have that. And a lot of times, you know, even as a guy, you like to fall asleep with that remote in your hand for whatever reason. That's a different story. But it'll be on my lap on this, and this blanket I have is a black one. And then all of a sudden you get up to go let the dog out or go grab a drink or something. You come back and you sit back down. And then you're like, where's the remote?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to pick up the blanket and like shake it out and hopefully it's there. And if not, then, you know, and if you don't hear it fall out, then all of a sudden it's like kicked underneath the couch and
wedged
you're looking for it for 10 minutes. And it's just like, you know, sometimes you're just like, fine, I'll just watch this infomercial channel for the rest of the day since I can't find it.
And sometimes it takes you a long time to find those things. The remotes should come in like in fluorescent green or something glow in the dark
The funny thing is upstairs we have the same Fire TV stick or box or whatever upstairs in the bedroom. And Sandy's got, instead of being at the black controller like downstairs, it's got this like pink cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think, well, that would make it easier to find.
No.
No, because I don't know. There's this one blanket. I can't remember if it's the plant blanket or if it's something else. But half the time, I still have trouble finding that one. You think, oh, this is pink remote. It should be easy to find. But it blends into this blanket or it's not where you thought it was. And it's just like, my goodness. I mean, it just remotes just play hide and seek with
they
you
They should
the
just
time.
Have automatic beepers on them if they know they're lost. Beep, 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 beep. I'm under the bed. Beep, beep, beep.
You know those little, you know, those Apple AirTags and similar products where you can kind of figure out where your stuff is?
Yep.
They need even smaller ones so that it's just basically like a sticker so you can stick it on your remote.
Attach it. That would be smart.
Because they're like this big around or whatever.
Hey, you got the idea for the good invention. Take it to the marketplace so you can become a multimillionaire.
Billionaire.
Good luck with that, okay?
That way everybody can find their stuff using their phone. But then if they lose their phone, then they're out of luck.
Yeah. When's the last time you used an actual flashlight? 701-293-9000. That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. You can email us studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page, 5:35. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. 5:41 Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Going to be a warmer week. Well, we'll get to warm, put it that way. Chance of showers late this afternoon into tonight and then carrying over into tomorrow morning in the 70s. But then we start our warm up. Thursday, 78 for the high, and then we'll get into the 80s for the weekend. I know a lot of you are looking for those warmer temps, and as we get into the weekend, that's a good thing, too, because a lot of people will be heading to the lakes for the weekend, and I know a lot of you already were at the lakes this weekend. Hopefully, fishing was great. It was nice that we didn't have crazy winds this weekend. That was a nice switch, too. The winds were pretty mild, about 5 to 10, 5 to 15, maybe at the most, so... Overall, I think it was a pretty darn good weekend, especially for those that were outside. Maybe you're doing some gardening. I saw quite a bit of that going on in my neighborhood, or those of you who went to the lake got to enjoy a pretty peaceful weekend here. Partly cloudy, 51 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. I saw there was a Southwest Airlines plane that got hit by lightning, too, over the Memorial Day weekend, traveling from Tampa to Denver. I'm surprised that that doesn't happen more often than it does, actually.
Yeah.
You don't hear about it, too. Once in a while, you'll hear it, but
yeah,
not too often.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, obviously, when there's stormy weather, I mean, a lot of times planes divert to a different airport, or
they
try and fly above the storm if possible. It seemed like, I can't remember where I was going. I took a flight at one point in time. I think we had to we got diverted to Wyoming, where we had to land and refuel and then get back up because we were trying to get to Denver.
Trying to go around a storm?
Yeah, there was a storm around Denver, but I can't remember if that was within the last, not the last, but ever since, Sandy and I have been together, or if it was before that when I was trying to go to home to Arizona when I lived there prior to getting my government job, because it seemed like we were supposed to fly to Denver, get a flight down to Phoenix, and then, ride back, or Phoenix to... I'm so dumb. Phoenix, then to Tucson, which makes about as much sense.
I know, they do crazy routing.
Yeah. And so I think there was a flight. I think it might have been going back to Arizona, but it was trying to fly into Denver to catch the connecting flight. Then we had to get diverted, and, I don't remember if we landed in Wyoming for a minute, got refueled, got back up there, finally got down. But by the time you got there, you had to, take a later flight or something like that. So I got to Phoenix late, and then you're trying to go, because they've got multiple buildings for their different gates and stuff. So you're trying to go from, building A to building B, and you're trying to make that flight down to Tucson. It was a whole fiasco.
Yeah, kind of scary. Southwest Flight 168 approaching Denver International Airport from Tampa. It was hit by a lightning strike. Emergency crews responded. The plane, it landed, made it to the gate safely. No injuries were reported, but it was taken out of commission. The plane was, so they can inspect it. But I would think that that would be a little scary.
Yeah,
and like
definitely.
I said, I'm shocked that it doesn't happen more than it does. But like you said, too, a lot of times they're up above the storms or try to divert around the storms, too. But you never know sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes those storms just pop up. When's the last time you used an actual flashlight? If you want to weigh in on our question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Crash says he uses them a lot for work. James was, he said he used one in the morning on his work truck.
Yeah,
work stuff. Or I said, if you're doing home fix-it projects and maybe you're going into a crawl space or a darkened area, you really need some good light in there.
Yep, and sometimes the flashlight, especially if you get those smaller ones, are easier to hold on to when you're trying to do something in a small, confined space than trying to have your phone and have that slip out of your hands or something, so. And sometimes, quite honestly, the flashlights are just brighter.
They are.
They
are. Like I said, it's just handy that most of us have our phones on us all the time, and if you don't have to run upstairs or run out in the garage to get a flashlight, it's right there. Barb was doing a little backup helping. She says her son-in-law was working in a car and needed more lights, so she held the flashlight.
Nice.
Lori, just in the morning while cleaning under a refrigerator. Isn't that the worst when you drop something or something goes under the refrigerator or the washing machine or the furnace or something?
Yeah.
My cat, Zoe, likes to batter balls all around, mm-hmm. and then they go under the furnace.
Yep.
And there's like old linoleum, and then under the furnace, there's part of it, because it's so old, it's kind of curled. Well, mm-hmm. sometimes she'll get the ball stuck under there. It's like, I'm not getting it for you. I won't let her boss me around, but my husband, she'll boss him around, and he'll go and get stuff. It's like, nope, you can wait till Dwayne gets home. I'm not going to crawl under the refrigerator or under the furnace for you to get your ball out. Just stop hitting it under there. And it's not like you don't have 20 other ones. She's just obsessed with this one ball. And we bought other ones like it. And she just wants that one that always ends up under the furnace for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you used an actual flashlight, that's our question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Maybe I'm alone in this. A lot of you are saying we use them all the time. Mm-hmm. Used it just this morning. Bonnie says she uses hers a lot. I don't know. I mean, I guess I used to till I discovered the one on my cell phone.
I never knew.
Unless you have a storm and the power goes out, but how often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe for some people it happens more. But here in town, it's not very often we have power outages.
No, we don't, thankfully. And then I know that we've got a couple flashlights around the house that they're the type that just plug into an outlet. So when the power goes out, they just kind of kick on or whatever. You know where to find them. And then you can just, grab them, unplug them, and then just use your flashlights. That we always have one available. So that way you can find it.
Handy little tool. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess one of my night lights is actually a flashlight, too. Like, it's on the wall, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's probably about 4 inches high.
Yeah.
And so it's plugged in as a nightlight, but if you need to unplug it, it stays on as a flashlight. That's kind of nifty.
Interesting.
I forgot all about that. We've had it for quite a long time. But,
well, now you remembered it.
Which is like, if you ever have a power outage, that would come in handy, you know?
Exactly.
701-293-9000. When's the last time you used an actual flashlight? I burnt myself yesterday, too. I feel it. It's just, like, so tender. We've got the – thank you, Ronnie, for carrying my pizza oven griddle grill thing that I won at the Christmas party this past winter. And I've used it 3 times now. Actually, when I went home yesterday, I fried up some hash browns on it and some breakfast sausage. Mm-hmm. So I used it twice yesterday. And then last night I made some homemade pizzas on this thing, but – it sits up on a cart, and it's really high. And when I lift the lid, and all it took was a quick quarter-second touch, and I burnt, like, the softest part of my skin on my forearm, and it hurts. But pizza's turned out phenomenal on that grill-griddle combination thing. And that thing wasn't – they're not even expensive, especially, like, if you live in an apartment or a smaller space and you're looking for something like that. I think that thing was – I didn't buy it. Like I said, I wanted that at our Christmas party. But I think you can pick one of those up for $129 or something like that.
A little bit more.
Well, it depends on what brand.
The ones I've seen is about $250 to $300.
I think mine's a cheaper version.
Probably.
But yeah, I mean, you can spend a lot on one of those outdoor Uni pizza ovens. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of cool. But this is more than the pizza oven. Like I said, it's a griddle, it's a grill, and it's pretty handy.
So many things.
And I kind of made medium-sized pizzas, and so we had two of them. Logan didn't want mushrooms on his, but a couple of them I had sausage, mushrooms, onions on them, so I made his. And I even gave one over to my next-door neighbors. And because I'm like, I think I've perfected this now. So I've used it twice, and now I know how to work it and stuff. But that turned out well, and made some blueberry muffins up, too. And brought some of those in for you. And
eating good in the neighborhood. Just call Bonnie Applebee's.
Yeah, well, I thought I've got all these blueberries in the freezer, so I thought, I haven't made blueberry muffins in forever. My mom makes them all the time, blueberry muffins and blueberry pancakes.
Oh,
so
geez.
I thought, I'll make those, something sweet to have around, and I know you boys appreciate it, too. I got to take care of my boys, the ones at home and the ones here at work.
Mm-hmm.
550, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Question of the morning, when is the last time you used an actual flashlight? If you want to weigh in on our question of the morning, phone lines are always open to you guys. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Trevor uses one every morning when he does a pre-trip vehicle inspection of his truck. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Huh. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Susie says last night she couldn't find the butter she brought in and she didn't want it to melt in her car.
So she
she's at the lake.
So she had to use the flashlight to find it?
I guess. Yeah, sometimes you can't find things in your vehicle, right?
Yeah.
And if especially if you got a black interior, it's mm-hmm. dark. You know, you're in the woods, you're at yeah. the lake, and it's just dark. Those flashlights, they come in handy. 5:51, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:53, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, Tuesday morning. Good morning to you through the holiday weekend here, which means road construction work is going to be ramping up again today. Please pay attention as you're driving through those construction zones. Look for those posted speeds. Reduce your speed as you travel through and watch for those workers who oftentimes are working, you know, close to the lanes of traffic there. There's a lot of stuff going on, including a big project. I-94 on the Moorhead side, but all throughout our region, lots of road construction going on. So take it easy as you are traveling. Some people are real number watchers. I'm not. You know what a palindrome is?
Is that the number same way forwards and
yeah,
backwards?
Yeah. So I guess yesterday was a palindrome date. Was it the 25th yesterday? No, day before.
It was the 25th.
Sunday.
Sunday was the 25th. So yesterday was the 26th.
5/25/25, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dozens of couples got married in Vegas Sunday. They can say they forever were wed on a palindrome date. 5/25/25.
Oh, that's high on my bucket list.
That's what I mean. Some people are into that. I know. That's what I mean. I don't care. The Bliss Chapel in Vegas alone said it had more than 30 weddings on Sunday. That did not include walk-ins. Last-minute rash decisions people are making.
Well, I was going to say, you would think that they were just busier because, well, it was a Memorial Day weekend and people were in Vegas.
Do you think that? Like, oh, it's Memorial Day, let's go to Vegas.
No, I think people go, it's a three-day weekend, let's go to Vegas or let's go anywhere. Let's go do something and go party. So
I guess. And, hey, we're drunk now, let's get married. Hey, you want to marry me? Let's go get married.
I mean, I wouldn't do that because, you know.
But some people, they don't think things through. They're not in the right frame. Remember the Britney Spears? How long did that wedding last? Like 5.5 hours or something like that?
So I don't know. Was it in a day or something?
I don't know. It didn't last long. Speaking of which, she was in the news again. Apparently, she was on a private jet and she was smoking. And
oh, no.
She didn't know that you couldn't smoke on a private
jet. If it's a private plane, can't you do whatever you want?
No. And it just goes to show that she's still not 100% right.
No.
Which is sad.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But I guess I would have thought that if you're on a private plane, like say, like if you rented it, you know, because of course you got the wonderful commercials these days for Badgett, which makes perfect sense. Hey, you can rent a private plane for like $20,000 to fly from Fargo to St. Louis. Oh, yeah. Everybody's going to do that. That's a different story. But you know, you would think that if it's like, you know, you're a rich person, you have your own plane, you can do whatever you want.
I suppose if it's your own plane.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if it's someone else's and you're on their plane and they have a rule or whatever. But at the same time, you would think on a private plane, it's like riding in your own vehicle. You know what I mean? Like if you're in a limousine, granted, it's not yours, but maybe you're allowed to smoke as opposed if you're in my vehicle, you're not smoking in my mm-hmm. vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of a personal preference. So
I don't know. Flight attendants, according to TMZ, told her to put out her cigarette. And they say she was being difficult throughout the flight. They called police and they met her at the plane to talk about her behavior. But she's rambling in circles about this whole thing, too. Then plus, she said she was drinking vodka and was really drunk.
What? What are the odds of that?
It just makes me think that she's mm-hmm. still not 100% right. Now, this, okay. I don't know about this.
You don't.
There's a study.
Yes.
Humans could soon have the ability to see in the dark and with your eyes closed thanks to nanotechnology. Why do you want to be able to see with your eyes closed? Because then shouldn't you be sleeping if your eyes are closed?
Well, can you turn it off? Because otherwise you'd be like staring at the ceiling all night. It's like, okay, I'm going to sleep now. I can still see.
Right. Scientists from China and the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School,
mm-hmm.
they've created these contact lenses infused with specialized nanoparticles that let people see in the dark and in the fog and with their eyes closed. They absorb infrared light converted into images that the human eye usually can't see. They say the lenses have only been tested on a small group of people right now with normal vision.
Oh, so they only use people that were like, what, 5 foot and under?
Normal vision.
No, you said small group of people.
No, so just like...
It's not a group of small people?
Like a handful of people. People you can put in your hand and hold.
Well, I mean,
maybe for certain purposes like military or covert operations this would come in handy.
Yes, but it also could help those that have that are vision impaired. Maybe someone that is...
Maybe someday. They say they tested it on people with normal vision, but maybe someday. It doesn't
I mean, there's benefits to the people that have normal vision so that you can see, like you said, if it's a special forces or something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you are able to develop this technology and get people that I can actually see to be able to give you feedback on it, maybe you're able to make a product so that you can allow the blind to be sighted again.
Maybe.
And that'd be my thought. I mean, to me, that's more the purpose than just allowing someone to see in the dark.
That would be really annoying. Like, I'm trying to go to sleep, but I can't because I can't see.
See, but the interesting thing is that it's a contact lens, so you can take your contacts out before you go to bed. So,
well, yeah. I don't know what the purpose of it. Just, I suppose, science and
it's
technology.
Probably for those mole people, so they can see underground.
Maybe, I don't know. You watch too many movies. That's all I know.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd see that, be able to see the movies in the dark too.
Chance we could see some passing showers, maybe some thundershower activity late this afternoon and into tonight. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be joining us shortly, and we will get more details on the forecast. Partly cloudy, 51 degrees right now. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6 o'clock Tuesday morning. Good morning. 6:01, time now for a check on our forecast. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. Good morning to you, Dino.
And good morning. Did you have a wonderful holiday weekend?
Well, I got to hang out with James and Jace, so of course I had a nice holiday weekend.
Good deal. It was weather-wise, boy, I'll tell you, it couldn't have gotten much better. We had light winds. A few of those fair weather afternoon cumulus clouds popped up, but other than that, it was a dry weekend, and I hope everybody got out to enjoy it. And we're going to start off the week. It just feels like Monday. Sorry, it's Tuesday.
I know a lot of people are going to be messed up. Not us, though. The rest of us were here yesterday, so.
Well, good for you guys.
We missed you, Dean.
You guys are true. I was.
What,
I was
Dean
little...
was gone?
Yeah, see?
Oh,
see?
I'm sorry. My bad.
Nobody even noticed. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got a few showers on radar right now. One just east of the FM area, moving westward. That's right. There's an area of low pressure, upper level low, spinning down to our south, which has given quite a bit of rain to the central plains. That's okay. They need it. And then so everything rotates counterclockwise around that. So we're going to see our weather moving in from east to west today, kind of opposite. So there's a few light showers on radar right now, just west of the FM area, moving westward towards Fargo. So could see a few light scattered showers this morning. And then we'll see partly cloudy skies as we head throughout the day. Currently, we're in the low 50s across much of the area, a few mid 40s out to the west of the valley. We'll top out today in the low 70s under partly cloudy skies. And again, those hit and miss showers, not everybody's going to see them. And none of them are going to produce a whole lot of rain, but we could pop up an isolated thunder shower as we head into the afternoon with highs today in the low 70s and a southeast wind on the light side. Tonight we'll shut the rain off for the most part, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. And then tomorrow, rinse and repeat, much of the same, partly cloudy and isolated pop-up shower or storm can't be ruled out with highs in the low 70s. Now, things do improve, and 80s are back in the forecast before the week is done. I'll have more on that and a sneak peek into next weekend. Oh, I think you're going to like it. Next weekend looks pretty darn good. We'll have more on that. It's going to start feeling a little more like summer around here, which I'm sure many people are happy about. We could use a little more summer heat, even though we had a taste of it a little over a week ago with temperatures in the 90s. We could use some more summer warmth around
here. You 90s lovers, why do you live here? We're not used to 90s. We don't like 90s, some of us.
Oh, come on. It's summertime, Bonnie.
That's hot.
Yeah.
67 to 73, and we'll call it good.
Well, that's what I mean. This last weekend, you know, low 70s. I mean, low to mid 70s all weekend. It was beautiful.
I thought yesterday got a little warm, but otherwise I thought it was nice.
Oh, come on. Yesterday was gorgeous. Mid 70s across the area. That was beautiful.
It felt hot. I don't know.
Is there any, can we make you happy at all?
Not is usually.
Is there anything?
Oh. It was low 70s. Let's call it good in low 70s.
70s, a nice breeze off the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
San Diego?
That's exactly what it is. You know, we were out on a bike ride yesterday, and Bentley says, he's like, Dad, the weather is beautiful up here. Is it like, it's not like this all the time. Like, no, no, that's called San Diego, buddy, if it's like this all the time.
It was nice that we didn't deal with strong winds. The winds have been pretty light the past week here now.
Did you check out my Facebook page? I'll be posting it on our weather page as well, but the size of the hail that hit over the weekend down in Texas.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Holy hail. Oh,
really?
Man. Oh, ouch. I mean, this thing is huge. And it is, you know, it's not fake. It's not a Facebook fake post or anything like that. It was, oh, boy.
Like cantaloupe or how big?
We're talking bigger than grapefruit. Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Softball plus size.
That had to have caused a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite large. But speaking of which, as we turn the corner into June here, which is next week, mm-hmm. It looks like we're going to start to see some more widespread severe weather enter the Northern Plains. So our weather is going to turn more active as we head into next week. So just kind of a heads up. Might want to up your insurance policy. Some of these big hail-producing storms sometime next week.
Yeah, hail's never good. Don't ever like to see that.
I could vote for it. I need a new roof on the house, so if we could park if we could park one right over South Fargo, that would be it wouldn't make me mad.
Right over Dean's house.
Yeah, I saw a vehicle this weekend at the wedding that had severe hail damage, and I don't particularly want that for any of my vehicles.
No, that's a bummer.
No, it's not. It's not. I know. It's it's that time of the year. I think this season is going to be a little bit more active in terms of severe weather in June and July. I know the LRC had our area painted out, especially the end of June and early July, as one target area for severe weather outbreaks. So this, like I said, this year is going to be a little more active than it was the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been relatively quiet the past few.
It has
few.
Been, and it's been nice. No arguments, no doubt.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
If you are 55 or better and ready for a fresh start, Prairie Ridge Apartments in Fargo makes it easier and more affordable than ever to move, and they have May move-in specials. You still have through the end of the month here to apply and receive exclusive discounts. That would include lower rents, your first month free, brand new two-bedroom apartments. They're very spacious, modern living. Maybe you have guests coming. You'll have room for them. Maybe you want to set up a hobby room or a home office. Do whatever you want. It'll be your two-bedroom apartment. Also, rent includes all utilities except electricity. That makes budgeting simple and predictable.
And to ease in this transition, they offer help with moving and packing. It's more than just a place to live. Prairie Ridge is a thriving, pet-friendly community where neighbors become friends. Apartments are filling fast, so call Maya today at 701-425-3574 or visit lcpropertymanagement.org online. Prairie Ridge Apartments, let them be your new place to call home.
608, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 612, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports, and I'm imagining you stayed up for the entire Timberwolves game.
I'm boycotting sports today.
Yeah.
They frustrate me. I went to bed at halftime.
19 offensive rebounds. Now, they got 19 offensive rebounds themselves, but they gave up 19 offensive rebounds.
Yep.
And for the love of everything good in this world, can you just hold on to the dang ball?
Yeah.
That'd be
21
nice.
Turnovers?
So many turnovers.
Honestly, the fact that we only lost by two should scare the crap out of Thunder fans.
Well, we only had
two. And Anthony Edwards only had 16 points. He had 2 points at the half. What was it?
He had 4 points at the half.
4 points at the half, excuse me. He had one shot at the half. That's what it was.
One make.
Julius Randle had 5 points in the game. So he has scored in single figures two of the last three games for the Wolves. You put all that together, and the Wolves losing by two, I'd be a little bit concerned if I was OKC fans, in all honesty, as well. But it was 128-126. The Thunder, they control the destiny, obviously, with a 3-1 series lead, and Game 5 will be in the state of Oklahoma tomorrow night at 7:30 on ESPN.
I like when, you know, you get playoffs and the series goes the distance, whether it's basketball, baseball, but not in this case. It's the Timberwolves, and I wish they wouldn't have been in such a big hole here.
Well, now we need it to go the distance. Yeah, otherwise, we're just going to be sad.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, I'm already sad just thinking about it.
I mean, you had a fourth quarter where you scored 41 points.
But you gave up 38.
Exactly.
Well, that's because it was a three-headed dragon for OKC. They had 34, I believe, themselves. Between Shea
in the end of the game with 40. Williams had 34.
Jalen Williams and
Chet had Chet. 21. Yeah, it was basically only those three guys, really. They had
94 or 95 points, I forget.
They were just killing us.
They had 90-something between the three of them. But regardless, in other Minnesota sports news, the Twins gave up three runs in the sixth and four in the eighth, and they found themselves losing 7-2. So there's that. That's game one of a 10-game road trip for them. They were in Tampa Bay. They'll remain there for the next couple of days. Chris Paddock gave up a couple of runs, earned at least, over 5 1/3 innings of work. He was tagged to the loss. Carlos Correa, a two-run homer, his fourth of the year. Twins and Rays again tonight at 6:05. Joe Ryan gets the nod here this evening. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they were in Gary Sellshore battling the Railcats, and they got a 3-1 victory in a pitcher's duel. Tyler Jandrin, he ended up with 6 1/3 innings, only giving up one run, 10 strikeouts, while he eventually earns the win. Three different pitchers come out of the bullpen to close the door, including Alex DuBord, the South graduate, with a 1-2-3 ninth inning to get the save and secure that victory for the Redhawks. Three different guys driving in runs for Fargo-Moorhead as they continue their series tonight, first pitch at 6:45. Tonight in the Eastern Conference Final for the NBA postseason, you'll have on TNT and Max, it'll be Game 4 between the Pacers and Knicks as they're in Indiana. Tip-off at 7 o'clock, Pacers with a 2-1 series lead. Knicks with an opportunity to completely turn this series on its head. Otherwise, Indiana can take control the same way OKC did last night. And in the Eastern Conference Final for the NHL last night, the Carolina Hurricanes take down the Florida Panthers 3-0, ending a 15-game conference final losing streak for the Hurricanes. I don't know how you can be that successful and have that much struggle in the conference final. That just goes to show you how wild the game of hockey truly is. Mm-hmm. The Panthers with a 3-1 series lead at this point. Still, they head back to Sunrise, Florida for Game 5 tomorrow evening. And what?
They're going to Carolina.
Going to Carolina, sorry. Yeah, whichever.
They were just in Sunrise.
Yeah, either way. Doesn't. Florida's closing it out.
Yeah,
Florida's closing it out. And in the Western Conference Final, Edmonton Oilers will take on the Dallas Stars tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Oilers with a 2-1 series lead as that one's in Edmonton. Primetime sports tonight at 6:30.
I saw on the ticker across the bottom, there's one player for Edmonton that could be out. I don't know if you know that player off the top of your head, because I was kind of curious as to whether that's a significant injury or not, because I believe I want to say it was one of their forwards, but it wasn't Connor McDavid.
It wasn't McDavid or Draisaitl.
So I mean, I figured that offensively the Oilers will be just fine. But
yeah, I don't see on the updated injury report, I don't see anybody that is listed as out for tonight for Edmonton. So I would imagine it's a day to day type of thing, probably expect them to play.
Okay,
whoever it was, because I didn't have a chance to watch Game 3.
Yeah,
I was at the cabin with family, but So, yeah, there's nobody on the injury report right now for either Dallas or Edmonton. I do know that a couple of guys are banged up for Dallas
Connor
as well.
Connor Brown? He's listed. Hmm. He's a right wing. I think that's who they said.
Yeah, he's just a depth piece. I do know that for Edmonton. So okay. I wouldn't say that there's anything a concern if you're an Oiler fan at this point, especially if you got your big guns rolling the way that they are.
Yeah. Okay. That was my question, the Connor Brown one.
I see Caitlin Clark out 2 weeks with some kind of thigh injury.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember the exact determination that they gave for it, a bone bruise or a contusion of some sort or whichever. But, yeah, it could be up to 2 weeks. She could be out for that. So the biggest thing is for her squad is to try and play 500 ball without her out there. If they're able to do that, and, you know, when you go and get a really good player from Phoenix this offseason and Sophie Cunningham to be able to complement Clark and that entire ensemble of players, that's really – you're banking on her taking a larger workload over these next, whichever it is, 3 to 5 games that Caitlin will be out, and we'll see if she's able to handle that in a new system or if somebody else is able to step up. Because you think about it, let's just say she misses 5 games. If you go even 2 and 3 over that span versus 1 and 4, that's a big difference, especially even early on in the season, because we see it all the time. How many times do we see in the MLB a team get off to a, you know, whichever, they get off to a 10-20 start, and it takes them until September to fight back in the, yeah, in the standings, and that sometimes is the reason that they miss a playoff spot. Or in the NFL, you go 1-3 in the month of September, well, it takes you till Thanksgiving to get back into the playoff race, different things like that. So even though it's probably only going to be give or take 4 games that she'll be out, it's crucial for them to flirt with 500 at least, well, while she's out.
And they're only 500 right now. They're 4 games into the season. They only play, what, a 32
well,
or 36
game season?
Well, I do
know they just played a game after she got hurt. So that's, yeah, that's, yeah. But they lost, the first game that they lost was by 1 to Atlanta.
Yep.
Brittany Griner's there now, and, mm-hmm, and so that was a game where they were down like 15
lost,
or something.
They lost 2-2 to the defending champs, the Liberty.
So yeah, those are the two losses. So, they lost by a grand total of 3 points. So yeah, they're right there, but... Yeah.
Now without Caitlin, obviously you got to lean heavily on, I believe it is, Aaliyah Boston, who was their leading scorer in that,
yes,
New York,
yep,
game.
She's
so,
good.
And Caitlin was only 2 of 11 from the 3-point line in that game against New York. So, I think Indiana brought some pieces in to go along with Caitlin Clark that'll help.
Yeah, so
them,
Cunningham and Boston are going to, mm-hmm, be relied upon a lot more over that 40-minute matchup,
yep,
or over those 40-minute matchups. Yeah, for the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
619, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Coming up 656 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist and this song. The song title actually came from a John Wayne movie. Find out who it is and what song it is. Flatland Music Flashback again right around 656. The food of the summer, of course, this TikTok influencers is how we come up with this. And you might think, what, fruit, right, because it's hydrating? It's not fruit. You guys would know.
I don't usually – fruit because it's hydrating.
Well, a lot of
usually
people think,
fruit because it's good for you, Bonnie.
Well, it is, but like because of when it gets hot and it's hydrating, you might think, what's the food of the summer? You might think fruit, but it's far from fruit, and we will talk about it coming up next. 624, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, mostly cloudy right now, 51 degrees at our WDAY Radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. We're looking for a decent day today, maybe some showers and thunder showers later on. 73 for our high temp. We got another item coming up, Big Deals Auction, WDAYRadioNow.com. This will be on Thursday. You can bid for an oversized truck, an SUV exterior protection plan from Extreme Detailing.
This ceramic protection plan from Extreme Detailing provides 10 years of exterior protection with warranty. It's valued at almost $1,900. Bids will start at $300, and bidding begins this Thursday at 7 a.m. You can find out more online at the Big Deals page on our site at WDAYRadioNow.com.
All right. Food of the summer. This according to TikTokers, the influencers out there.
Okay.
You know, it's been like strawberries in past years just because in watermelon, just fruit's hydrating. So it makes sense. Tomatoes were having their moment a few years back. I know. They're not my favorites either. Then they were doing, I think last year or the year before, it was cottage cheese with a lot of mustard on it. I like both. I like cottage cheese and I like mustard, but not necessarily together. And it's just kind of a weird. They do it, weird stuff.
Well, cottage cheese. I mean, I know I've tried it, and it obviously tasted a lot better than it looks.
Oh, I love cottage cheese. I eat a lot of it,
but I don't eat much of it. I think I've also seen them. You put it on parchment paper, kind of spread it out, and then
you bake it,
and make
it,
a little
make a
crisp.
Wrap.
Yeah, or whatever. So I'm kind of like intrigued by doing that, but cottage cheese, I'm not something I'm setting, I'm out, you know, looking for.
Yeah,
I'm not
seeking cottage
it.
Cheese, but I'm not putting mustard on
but,
it.
But, you know, as far as like these foods of the summer, I mean, my question is, why is everybody all on these dumb trends? I mean, if you like these foods already, I mean,
just eat them.
Yeah. I don't need, I mean, some of the TikToks I find hilarious and they're funny. And then there's other ones that are just annoyingly stupid.
Mm-hmm. But if they're an influencer and they've got people sponsoring them, they're making money. I guess. And people are following. So the food of the summer, according to the TikToker influencers, are sardines.
Pass.
I mean, kids like I don't mind sardines. They're fine.
Is that different than kipper snaps?
Well, the kipper snaps. I love those. Those are smoked.
Those are smoked sardines?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then why don't you start a TikTok channel and start doing that?
No, I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah. For all that, that's what the breaking news is, Bonnie.
Staying off TikTok. I don't want them stealing my information. But sardines, I mean.
Okay.
I grew up eating sardines.
Okay, boomer.
No. My mom and dad, I'm not a boomer. I miss being a boomer by a few years.
No, but that's what they say when you don't like do stuff.
Sardines, though. I mean, I don't mind them, but I think if my kids would never eat sardines. If I'm like, here, this is the trendy thing to eat this summer. Here's some sardines. I don't think any of them would even try them.
You know, but there are people out there that will try it.
They're good for you. They're heart healthy. You should be eating them.
And then they'll eat them, and then they'll be like, oh, these are actually pretty good. But, I mean, you know, getting people to try something is one thing, but just to be like, oh, everybody's eating sardines this year, I mean, ugh. That's just bizarre.
Some of the more upscale restaurants, they call them tinned fish. So,
that's way clever. I'll have the tinned fish and rice, please.
No, even you get to go to Brujala, one of those places that sells stuff. They sell tinned fish, too, there. Yeah, it's a more trendy thing. But yeah. I don't think the younger generation in particular is eating much sardines.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, that was the thing, the World War II era, too.
Yeah.
Preservation, whether it was Spam, sardines, because they're already canned. They stay a long time. You could, have them on the shelf.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with them. Like I said, you're supposed to eat fish a couple days a week. And
yeah, I know.
I don't think it's going to take off, though. I mean, the influencers can do all they want.
Yeah.
Try to get the young people to eat sardines, but
good luck.
I don't think they're buying them.
Here's the thing, though. What I still don't understand is these TikTok and other social media influencers. It's really frustrating as someone that has had a 20-year career and then transition to a new job and still working,
You're working hard to make money and they're not. It sounds like you're a little jealous. Is this where you're going with this?
A little bit, but I just don't get it.
I wish I was this smart that I could make money like they make money.
I mean, they just videotape, in a sense, like their normal daily activities. But the frustrating part is when you see them living out in California and they go and like, oh, we're looking at houses today. And then they show this house that is just a mansion at $2.3 million home. And you're just like, you share videos on social media about going to the gym and working out or what restaurant you're going to. It's like, why are you able to afford a $2.3 million home?
Because it's all about clicks and followers. And then if you go viral and you have all these followers, then you have sponsors and that's how they make money.
It's just so weird at times.
I think we're a little jelly because we weren't smart enough to do this.
But I wouldn't be interesting enough to be a social influencer. You know what I mean?
You don't think so?
Nah.
I find you interesting.
Nah, I'm not really. I'm pretty boring.
You're okay.
Yeah,
you could go viral just with your facial expressions. Like somebody could ask you a question. You don't even have to say anything. We would just look at your face and we'd know exactly what you were saying based on your facial expression.
My voice may be quiet, but my face is not.
We should do that. Maybe we could go viral. I'll ask you weird questions just to get your facial reaction. Then we'll put it out there.
But you got to do it when I'm not expecting it. Because otherwise, then I'll expect it. Then I'll try and make a face. And then that's just not the same.
He is so readable just looking at his face.
You have to be around me for a little bit, though.
You shouldn't play poker, though. You probably lose.
There was one time I played poker and I did well.
Did you?
Yeah, we had a bunch of people from work. We got together because that's when the poker tournaments and the online poker sites and everything was getting really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a number of friends in California. One specifically, him and his wife have gone. They've played in the World Series of Poker multiple times, right? So he got an evening set aside for us, and we all, we did it tournament style. So for each little, 10-person tournament, it was $10 or $20 to buy in or whatever. And there was one time I actually won it, but the problem was that my buddy Leland, who is a very good poker player, he the flop comes or whatever, and he knows what the best hand will be, and he kind of knows the odds, when you see certain cards, and I'm just like, oh, there's three red ones.
Yeah.
You know,
did you win hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, $10?
I mean, it was, you know, like if there was 10 of us, you would have won $100, or if there was 15 or 20 bucks, I mean, it's only 150, 200.
But you still won that one.
I still won that one tournament, and I was really proud of myself for doing that. So
there you go. It is 6:31 Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and the rest of the crew. 6:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our Tuesday morning forecast.
Yes, we've got a few light showers on radar right now between about Thief River and just north of Grand Forks. Also, a little out towards Fergus and DL. And there's also one lone little light shower in the north side of Fargo. All of that moving westward. You don't see that too often. But, yeah, we're going to see our weather rotating from east to west this afternoon as an area of low pressure rotates down to our south. And we'll see a few more clouds today than we have over the holiday weekend. So we'll call it partly cloudy. We'll still see highs in the low 70s today with, again, those isolated showers. And as we head into the afternoon, areas that do see some sunshine, we'll see a few pop-up thunder showers as well with light winds out of the southeast, about 5 to 10. Then partly cloudy tonight, upper 40s, and tomorrow rinse and repeat. Although I don't think the coverage on the showers will be as, I hate to call it widespread, but as numerous tomorrow as they were today, with highs in the low 70s and light winds tomorrow. Then we'll see more sunshine for the rest of the week, with highs in the upper 70s to near 80 on Thursday, and in the low to mid 80s on Friday. Looking nice. Weekend, right now, looks pretty darn nice, with temps in the 80s. Now, there is a slight chance, only about a 20% chance, of an isolated pop-up shower or thunderstorm on Saturday, and then Sunday looks dry. And then we'll remain in the 80s to start off next week. And then as we head into next week, a pretty good chance of showers and storms coming in Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. I know that's a ways away, and that can change, but it looks like some more widespread showers and storms coming in next week. And some of those could be on the strong to severe side. We'll keep a close eye on that. But this week looks pretty quiet, not a lot of rain with this system today and tomorrow. These are just pop-up showers and thunder showers, but temperature is definitely looking a little more summer-like as we head into the rest of this week and especially next week as well. So if you're a fan of the summer heat, and Bonnie, I know you'd love some triple-digit heat here. I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Bummer.
We can't help you out.
Yeah.
And I don't see any 90s in the forecast, but I do see quite a few 80s. So, you know, time to run that air conditioner.
My central air has been set for probably 6 weeks already.
You haven't. You didn't run it over the weekend, did you?
I just have it set, yeah.
Okay.
It was hot yesterday.
It was not hot yesterday.
Jace thought it was, too.
I think we had ours on, but the funniest part is that we came home from the wedding on Sunday, and the air conditioning was on, and it wasn't that particularly hot on Sunday, and so my wife asked my youngest, why is the air on? And Jaden literally was like, well, I read that the air quality wasn't very good, so I closed the windows and turned the air on.
See?
I think that's she's smart.
She was smart, but at the same time, it was kind of funny because normally that kid doesn't wake up until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you're just like, why is the air on?
I mean, so the air quality wasn't good, Dad, so I left the air on.
Well, that's a smart kid.
Then. I know.
And by speaking of which, that's courtesy of the wildfires up in Canada. We're getting some of the residual smoke from that down here in the valley.
Is there going to be a year, potentially, where Canada's not on fire?
Well, this is all conjecture. This is all rumor. But
okay.
From what I hear,
uh-huh.
I got to squeeze this in before Bonnie cuts me off. Once we make Canada our 51st state, we'll be able to fight those fires a little better.
Maybe everything's burned up, so they don't have anything else to burn.
That could be too.
I'm just saying.
Well, at least it hasn't been bad. It was just a faint haze too. So
yeah,
it wasn't too bad.
No.
Yeah, the level didn't quite reach unhealthy. So, but it was still an annoyance.
It was noticeable.
For sure.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Yeah.
Dean sounded like. I mean, faint haze. That was how Dean was kind of taken this weekend. He was in a faint haze.
Oh. Yeah, but you've got that right. No doubt about it.
70s are over, Dean.
70s are over.
6:37, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Right now, your national news from ABC. We'll check in with the American Ag Network. And Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
After winning the Summit League baseball tournament over the weekend, North Dakota State baseball will head to Fayetteville, Arkansas this weekend to battle the third-seeded overall and top seed in the region, Arkansas, the Razorbacks. That'll be at 2 o'clock local central time on ESPN Plus on Friday, where the four-seeded Bison in that region take on Arkansas. Then after that one wraps up, about 7 o'clock local time, you'll have the two-seeded Kansas Jayhawks against three-seeded the Creighton Blue Jays. And so for the NCAA baseball regionals, for those who don't know how the format is, it's 16 regions of four teams, and it's double elimination. So you get two cracks at winning the region. The 16 teams that win the regional this weekend, next weekend will go into a best-of-three super regional where you'll have eight series of best-of-three series, and whoever wins those eight series next weekend, they will punch their tickets to the College World Series in Omaha in 2 weeks, beginning 2 weeks from Friday. And so that's kind of how it all shakes out for it. But the Bison getting back there, as we know, it would have been 2 years ago. Oral Roberts from the Summit League, they made an appearance in the Men's College World Series. They pulled a couple of upsets in the regional, and they also pulled an upset in the super regional to get there. So the Bison have every opportunity to possibly do it. Mm-hmm. They had legitimately, you can argue, the toughest schedule in the country. I think it was probably a top five-ish schedule, especially for a non-Power 5 school. I mean, going to LSU and going to places like Kansas and Alabama and going up against, you know, multiple top 25 mm-hmm. teams on the road this season, they've been battle-tested. Houston Baptist, they were there to open up the season as well. That's a team who's also in the national tournament. So they're very battle-tested here at this point. We'll see how things end up shaking out for them, if they can make some noise or not. The only caveat to any of it is Vegas released its odds for the Men's College World Series or this national tournament. And Arkansas, even though they're the third overall seed in the tournament, they are the betting favorite entering yesterday after the field was announced to win the national championship.
Oh.
So that is something where, you know, the Bison are able to beat them in the regional. That could really stir the pot, to say the least, in Vegas with some betting lines. Moving on to the NBA, the Wolves, they fall in a tight one. Anthony Edwards only 16 points. Julius Randle has 5 points. The Wolves commit 21 turnovers, and they're still within a buzzer-beater opportunity to try and win that game. They fall 128-126, though. They trail that best-of-seven series 3-1. Wednesday night at ESPN is Game 5 in OKC. Tonight, the Eastern Conference Final, a chance either to take control for the Pacers or for the Knicks to tie it up. Indiana leads it 2-1. They're also hosting the Knicks at 7 o'clock on TNT. In the NHL's Conference Finals out east, the Carolina Hurricanes take down the Florida Panthers 3-0 to end a 15-game Conference Final losing streak for those Hurricanes. Florida still leads that series 3-1 as they enter Game 5 tomorrow night. And the Oilers will host the Stars in Edmonton tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock on ESPN. Oilers with a 2-1 series lead. Primetime Sports tonight at 6:30. Jason and I have a feeling we're going to get a few thoughts off our chest about the Wolves.
Yeah.
Very rollercoaster-ish performances over this really entire postseason run. At Pebble Lake Golf Club, you play amongst mature trees, rolling hills, and unique bunkers with a little water along the way. And you can book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
6:46, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist who ended up fracturing his nose and suffering a concussion after he jumped off a drum riser during a concert. Who was it? Find out in Flatland Music Flashback, coming up in about 10 minutes. Stand by. Straight ahead, we'll check back in with the American Ag Network.
It was on this date in 2011. Dozens of fans of this famous band needed treatment after complaining of burning eyes during a concert in Australia. Find out who that band was and what the cause was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time now for Flatland Music Flashback, Flatland Guitar Music Store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets released That'll Be the Day. It became a number three hit. The song's title came from a John Wayne movie called The Searchers.
Wayne frequently used the phrase, "That'll be the day," throughout that movie.
That'll be the day, Pilgrim.
There you go.
1963, the album Free Willin' by Bob Dylan was released. Blowin' in the Wind reached number 22 on the Billboard charts. It's in the Grammy Hall of Fame as number 14 on the Rolling Stones magazine's list of 500 greatest songs of all time.
He should have looked before he jumped, though,
obviously,
I think,
not.
Right?
1980, David Lee Roth of Van Halen fractured his nose and suffered a concussion when he jumped off Alex Van Halen's drum riser and hit the stage light. He must have jumped really high.
Ouch. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers were recording an Italian special in Rome at the time. He felt that one.
Yes. 1994. The Eagles played their first show in 14 years when they played a gig in Burbank, California.
2.5-hour show ended with two encores, closing with this song right here, Desperado. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers recorded the Hell Freezes Over album that same year.
2011. Dozens of AC/DC fans needed treatment after complaining of burning eyes during a concert on a runway in Austria. Around 150 fans had to be treated.
Yeah, doctors found that they showed allergic reactions to bark mulch that was spread at the venue to avoid the soil getting too muddy after hours of massive rain. Who would have thunk?
Mm-hmm. Having a birthday today, Marty Christian of the New Seekers is 78. In 1972, they had the number 7 hit, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. The song was first used in a Coca-Cola commercial by the Hillside Singers. The New Seekers dropped the Coca-Cola references in their hit song, and quite honestly, the Coca-Cola commercial is how I know this song.
That's funny. A great tune. Haven't heard it for a long time. If you're having a birthday today, well, happy birthday to you, too. It is 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast. Kind of clouded up out there, Dino.
A little bit, Bonnie. In fact, we've got a few showers on radar right now, stretching just to the north of Fargo. That's one little batch. Also, another batch out around the DL area and Fergus. All that moving from east to west. We don't see that too often. So a few light showers out to the west of the FM area will be approaching the area here within the next 30 to 45 minutes. Also, another light batch of showers from around, about Thief River to just about south of Grafton. And we'll see these showers backing in from Lakes Country as we head throughout the day today. Just hit and miss showers. Now, areas that do see enough sunshine, we will see a few isolated thunderstorms developing as well. Now, currently we're in the low 50s across the area, and we'll make it up into the low 70s today with southeast winds on the light side. And then partly cloudy tonight, should shut the rain off for the most part. Could see a few leftover showers in Lakes Country with lows in the upper 40s. And then for Wednesday, look for partly cloudy skies. And again, a few hit-and-miss showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower with highs in the low 70s. The rest of the week looks dry then and warming up. Light winds on Thursday with highs in the upper 70s, low to mid-80s on Friday. If you have a day to play hooky, I would say Friday. Just call in sick. Just tell the boss you're not feeling that good because Friday looks pretty nice, very summer-like. And then the weekend, still looking pretty good. A slight chance of an isolated pop-up storm on Saturday with highs in the mid-80s, and we'll stay in the mid-80s on Sunday. If you're looking for any widespread rain, let's say, you just planted your garden and you'd like some nice fresh rain on that, best chance of widespread rain comes in here Tuesday or Wednesday of next week as a pretty vigorous storm rides out of the Rockies into the Northern Plains, and that will trigger off some showers and thunderstorms, it looks like, by Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. But temperatures remain mild in the 70s and 80s. Now, beyond that, late next week, it looks like we cool back down into the 70s. But, hey, enjoy these 80s while they're here, as many people are getting ready to, get in the pool. We're at the end of May. We start off June this coming weekend, and it's going to feel like it as more summer-like temps head our way.
All right, Dino. The weather's been brought to you by North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, but right now it's also time for Tailgaters Tuesday 2-degree guarantee. Dean, we've had it down since you were not with us yesterday. We had the high yesterday was going to be 74. What was the actual temperature yesterday?
Oh, man. Yeah. The high yesterday was, let me double check. Oh, man, you caught me off guard. I was going to say, I think it was 76, yes. We're going to go 76.
Okay.
Do you have time for me to double check here real quick?
Well, yeah.
How quick do your fingers move on that keyboard, buddy? Get them moving. Chop, chop.
They move pretty quick. The reason I'm asking, we want Long Island is what we want. Yeah, 76. Yeah, we hit 76 yesterday. Dang it. Sorry, Long Island lovers.
All right. Thank you, Dino. He's within 2 degrees. That means you can celebrate tonight at Tailgaters with a 2-degree domestic pint tap on your first one. After that, domestic pints are just $4 for the rest of the night. So get to Tailgaters tonight. And you can have that first domestic pint, $2, $4 after, and you can enjoy live music on Friday nights, Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
7:05, time for your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:09, Big Game James McCarty has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Wolves turn over the ball 21 times, Thunder with 19 offensive rebounds, and Minnesota now with their backs against the wall. They fall in Game 4 of the Western Conference Final, 128-126 last night. OKC now leading that best-of-seven series 3-1, with Game 5 shifting back to Oklahoma on Wednesday night at 7:30 on ESPN. The Twins had a blunder. They gave up 3 runs in 1 inning and 4 in another, and that was the difference in the game. They fall 7-2 to the Rays in Tampa. Chris Paddock gets taken to the loss after tossing 5 1/3 innings, giving up 2 earned runs. The bullpen would give up a total of 5 runs as well. And Carlos Correa would hit a 2-run homer, his 4th of the year, as the Twins now continue their series with Tampa Bay. Game 2 of this 3-game set, but game 2 of a 10-game road trip here at this point. Longest one of the year for the Twins. 6:05 first pitch tonight. Joe Ryan on the mound. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks win a pitcher's duel in Gary Sellschore, 3-1 over the Railcats last night. Tyler Jandrin, he ends up with 6 1/3 innings, only gave up 1 run, striking out 10 and earning the win. The bullpen would go and close the door on those Railcats, with Alex DuBord being the closer. 1-2-3 ninth inning, the South graduate slammed the door shut on those Railcats. They'll continue their series tonight at 6:45, game 2 of that early week series. In other NBA action, you have the Eastern Conference Final on TNT and Max tonight. The Indiana Pacers host the New York Knicks in Game 4. Pacers leading that one 2-1. Tip-off will be at 7 p.m. In the NHL's Conference Final, the Carolina Hurricanes, for the first time in 16 games, they get a win in the Conference Final, breaking that 15-game losing streak, taking down the Florida Panthers 3-0. They'll return to Raleigh for Game number 5 tomorrow evening. Florida still leads that series, though, 3-1. And in the Western Conference Final for the NHL, the Oilers leading the Stars 2-1. Game number 4 tonight in Edmonton. Puck drops at 7 o'clock with coverage available nationally on ESPN. And Bison Baseball finding their fate in the NCAA Regionals as they win the Summit League Baseball Tournament over the weekend. And they're going to have a date with the top seed in the region and third overall national seeded Arkansas Razorbacks. That'll be Friday at 2 o'clock. The Bison square off with them in game 1 of a double elimination bracket. The other game that's going on is 2-seeded Kansas against 3-seeded Creighton in that regional. That'll be at 7 p.m. following the Bison and Razorbacks later on that evening on Friday. An opportunity to try and make some noise. 2 years ago, Oral Roberts of the Summit League ended up pulling off upsets not only in the regional but also the super regional to advance to the Men's College World Series in Omaha. We'll see if the Bison can create some noise against Arkansas, who are the national favorites, actually, per Vegas betting as the bracket was released yesterday afternoon.
7:12, Monty and Friends, WDAY Radio. I see where a woman in Idaho arrested after her toddler was found alone in a hot car. Of course, we're heading into summer here. It's starting to get warmer. Passerby spotted a young child, appeared to be in distress, locked inside the vehicle, got the attention of a restaurant employee who was able to somehow open the vehicle and remove the 2-year-old just as police officers arrived there. 130 degrees in that vehicle at the time.
I just can't imagine doing that. I mean, I don't, especially, you know, the kid's a couple years old. I don't remember ever really doing that with the girls when they were young.
Never. You know, I never left my kids alone in a vehicle, even if you had the heat on or you had the air on. If I was going in a store, I don't care if I was right inside the front entry, I took the time, took my kids out of the car seat and carried them in or walked them in the store with me.
Yeah.
Would never do that. Nope. Not sure how long the 2-year-old was in the vehicle, but they did take the child to the hospital to be checked out. I mean, you can bake your insides in that type of heat, 130 degrees. Not sure where this woman was, but they located the mom. She's facing a multitude of charges here. But, yeah, I mean, good thing passerby happened to see the child in the vehicle. That people are really good about that, too, with dogs or pets or whatever, about paying attention for that, too. Yeah. Even locally here in our community where, you know, people either break the window or call the cops.
Yeah.
And you should. If you see, you know, it's hot and you see, you know, a pet or a child, heaven forbid, a child locked in the vehicle, call 911, especially for a child, you know, locked in the vehicle. But if you know that that vehicle's not running, there's not air, and it's hot outside, even for a pet, I mean.
Yeah. Although, on a positive note, I do find it funny, the memes where they're like, don't worry, the pup is fine.
People have put notes up,
he's
too.
He's got the air on at 70 degrees, and there he's listening to his favorite music.
Yeah, people will put notes up. But, I mean, there's you know, a lot of people are concerned, and rightfully so. I mean, keep your eyes out for potential problems, because this situation here could have ended way differently had nobody discovered that child or saw that child in distress in that vehicle with 130 degrees.
Yeah, and some people think, oh, I'm just running in for a second. I mean, I know how, you know, as an example, you or I, or say, you know, James and I, we get when you just run in for a second, you end up talking for 10, 15, 20 minutes or more. And that can be the difference for these parents to, you know, making a just absolutely horrendous mistake in their life and costing the life of their little one.
No, I invested a lot of time, pain, and money in my kids. I wasn't going to leave them behind.
Yeah.
Always, like I said, even if it was a quick run into a store, I always unbuckled them, took them in with me. Speaking of, I don't know if, well, yeah, she left the kid in the vehicle. I want to say, speaking of bad parents, this is out of South Carolina. Two people charged after an eight-month-old and 40 animals found living in filthy, unsanitary, unsafe conditions. Not just like dogs, cats. They also had rabbits and chickens and raccoons in their house. Infested, living and dead animals inside
this
house.
Yeah, that was even worse. I mean, living and dead animals. I mean, that means you're not taking care of the animals at all.
Oh, also a dead goat in the bathtub.
Oh, well, that's where I would keep my dead goat. Because I wouldn't want to take a bath or anything.
No. Animal feces, waste, and garbage found throughout the home. Eight-month-old placed in the care of a relative. 40 animals safely removed from that home. The couple, I don't know if they, there's, it doesn't mention drugs, but you kind of just wonder whatever issues they have going on. Charged with unlawful conduct toward a child and ill treatment of animals. You just shake your head.
Yeah.
When you hear stories like this.
I know. I can't imagine, especially, you know, in a sense of even living in conditions like that.
How do you live like that?
I mean, don't know.
I couldn't even imagine, like, not taking out the garbage on a regular basis and smelling that, let alone, you know.
Yeah, there's so many times I want my kids to take out the trash or whatever. But look, if they don't do it, eventually I'll just do it because I don't want to live in filth. And I want to have an overflowing garbage can. And that's just one garbage can. Yeah, I mean, imagine having dead animals and animal feces and stuff just all throughout your home and not really even caring.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's a lot more going on with that situation than we were told in the story. Also, it's becoming commonplace in parts of Florida in which roosters, they call them feral roosters, like wild roosters, and peacocks are basically
just running wild.
Running wild. They're even found among the high-rises, government buildings downtown. They've become a nuisance. Well, roosters, they're up crowing at 4 or 5 in the morning, they say. Where some people are celebrating and adopting them as the mascot to certain towns in Florida. Other people are like, I live in Miami. I don't want to hear a rooster crowing at 4 in the morning.
No, that'd be less than ideal, in my opinion.
Some people say, you know, there are, you know, people who have immigrated here from other countries, they've adopted the birds as a symbol of, you know, we love these animals as part of our culture. I get it, but then they kind of breed and then they run rampant around.
Yeah, then all of a sudden they're invasive and they're just a nuisance. So there's a fine line between having a few and having way too many and just being a pest.
I didn't know that peacocks have bad tempers, too. One person says the peacocks have very bad tempers. They're ill-mannered. They tend to be a lot bigger than the chickens that are running around.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of noise, too. So There's some people who are loving the Roosters and the Peacocks and a lot of other people who are not.
Yeah, I would probably end up on the side of I probably would not like them. I mean, a few here and there, that's one thing. But when it, you know, it gets to be too much, then it's...
Probably like the Canada geese. When mm-hmm. they overrun areas, yeah. they get annoying. They're kind of cute when you see the little babies.
Oh, yeah,
but
the little babies. You're like, oh, cute little one walking around with the parents and stuff. But then all of a sudden, you know, you got all this... goose poop and everything else, you know?
Yeah, a lot of nuisance. So we'll see what they do about that situation down there. It is 719, deleting proteins in wheat. Why? WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has the answers to that question.
722, we head out to the farm with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic. Okay. What's that thing that holds bread together? What's
gluten.
There you go. All right.
Oh,
so
good job, Jay.
Very nice. Now, wheat, major source of calories, carbohydrates, and proteins worldwide. And by the way, I am a big fan of wheat products, breads, etc. I like to call myself no carb left behind because I'm there for everyone's benefit. Now, that distinctive gluten that Jace mentioned is really what gives bread and pasta dough their texture and their elasticity. But for many, it can also trigger autoimmune reactions like celiac disease. Mm. So researchers at UC Davis in California have been able to delete a cluster of genes in wheat that generates gluten proteins that can trigger immune reactions without harming the bread-making quality. Mm. So that's pretty cool. We're thinking we can keep people from getting sick while we can still eat the breads that we like. Mm. Helpful fact. Also, for many, making sure you're diagnosed and you know exactly that that's the problem that it's giving you, that it is, in fact, celiacs, is a good idea. Make sure you always tackle the problem and know the actual source of it. Well, this celiac disease has... this protein would help those with celiac disease because in gluten, there's actually two classes of protein, glutenins and gileads, and deleting them all would lower the quality of the bread. Well, I didn't want unleavened bread. I wanted nice fluffy bread. Well, if you are able to just go ahead and take out the alpha gileans, that would help to reduce severe reactions to people with celiac disease and would allow bakers, millers, and farm-to-fork operations really still do all the things that they love to do with quality breads. Seeds will be available soon, and they don't have to be handled any differently. You plant them like a regular crop, harvest as you normally would, and then that can help to reduce that wheat allergen and improve the quality all the same time.
Boy, that would be something else because, yeah, now if you're making gluten-free products, you have to be very careful. You don't have cross-contamination because those with celiac disease or gluten intolerance can become very sick off it.
And unfortunately, not all those gluten-free products are great, right? Their texture, their taste just isn't awesome. And again, no carb left behind. I want that awesome texture and all the great things that go along with it if I'm going to need to eat that form of a gluten-free item. So this could be a major breakthrough for many.
No doubt.
We'll watch that.
Yeah.
All right, corn is emerging. I saw some on my walk yesterday.
Nice.
Now, ideally, corn should emerge within a 12-hour time frame. Then it'd be perfect. Oh. Little picket fence rows of corn.
Oh, that doesn't happen, though.
No, it doesn't. Now, corn, you should start scouting it when you've had about 100 to 120 growing degree days, which we're fast approaching. And why doesn't corn emerge perfectly even all the time? Well, you've got high and low spots in the ground. Some have a little more moisture than others. Some may be slightly shaded and may not get as much sunshine. And so that makes differences in different parts of your field. Now, why can that matter? You need to start making some notes now about what emerged and when. How long did it take? Did that seed sit in the ground 17 days, only 7 days? Because later on, you may need to make some decisions about disease. There could be some potential disease problems where you've got to look for fungicide. See, much like a person with a rundown immune system, a crop that emerges poorly can have weaker defenses, leaves it vulnerable to infections and so forth. But if you stick with your initial plans for fungicide, you can really help your corn disease potential down the road by reducing that potential. Mm. And also, scouting that this early helps you know, what are the weeds? What do I need to eliminate? And what if there's an insect out there that I've got to pay attention to and take out as well?
Easier to control if you catch it early.
Just like knowing things about ourselves, right? just said, if you have a bad immune system, you got to know what that is. Catch it early. Mm-hmm. Same thing in your corn mm-hmm. crop, right? So if your emergence is okay, note why. And maybe next year you have to do something different, whether it's with starter fertilizers. Maybe it has to do with a different corn variety, etc. But notes matter, especially when you come back to that field after rotating, because we don't normally want to do corn on corn. We want to rotate something different, come back and make those changes so we're better. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And talk about innovation. So dairy farms, they use a fair amount of water. Well, this is an example from a dairy farm down by Baltic, South Dakota. Cattle will drink the water, so they will recycle their water. They even take rainwater right off the roof, and any new operation would do the same. The water is used to cool the milk because that's required to prevent bacteria growth. You can use that same water to wash the floors in the parlor. Then you could also use the water to help separate sand from manure so the sand can be reused for bedding. Water moves manure solids to the methane digesters, which eventually make it back, and then the water will make it back onto the field when liquid manure is sprayed on a crop. But then also, I've learned that these dry solids, because I watched it in action, they take that liquid, semi-liquid manure, move it through a basically a heating unit like an oven, and those dry solids can be reused as bedding. There's a whole lot of recycling that happens in a dairy barn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, more than I ever thought, than we saw growing up, that's for sure. So improvements have really been made.
Mm-hmm.
All right, four improvements. Fun things today as far as weather and ag and focus. There's always improvements in ag. We're going to talk about two of them. One is our On the Auction Block segment with Steffes Group. Brad Olstead's going to join us. Let's talk about improvements in farm equipment. He's on his way to an auction in Mason City, Iowa, so I'll be excited to hear what he's seeing and what they're going to be selling down there. And then additionally, we'll be joined by Ray Grabansky. He's with Progressive Ag, and we want to hear his take on, okay, we got markets, we got tariffs, we have commodity prices. All right, what should we be doing? There's a lot of old crop sitting in grain bins. Should we be selling? What if we don't have it marketed? What about this crop that's just barely in the ground? And we'll look forward to hearing some insights from Ray as well. So always lots of things to talk about when we get to weather and ag and focus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and tomorrow we'll be getting a Here We Grow update, hopefully, off you.
We will. I'm going to take a look at our wheat field today. It's my day to go out scouting. We were at, when I was in the field last week, we were 1-2 leaf. I bet we're 2-3 leaf right now. We'll be rapidly approaching a spray for weeds, but that field's pretty clean. I didn't see a lot of weed problems when I was out there, so I'll take a little closer look. Maybe something's emerged over the weekend.
They seem to multiply weeds. You know, you've got a garden. You know how it works, Bridget.
Yes, there was some intense weeding going on yesterday.
It's just, you just wonder with weeds. It's like, seriously, I just weeded this a day or two ago, and boom, there they are again.
Not even kidding. I will weed and then turn around and come from the other direction, because just depending on how the sun hits it, I swear you can see way more. So, all right, happy gardening, happy plant growing, all the things that we're doing, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Thanks, folks.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:30. 7:31, missing in action, but there he is. Hi, Dino.
Well, it said... Not, it said it was busy. I figured you guys were busy. You didn't want me.
Yeah. No, we always want you, big guy.
I felt rejected. No. To be honest with you.
We're here. We were just wondering where you were.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's going to be a halfway decent day today. Not as nice as it was over the weekend and on Memorial Day. We've got a few more clouds in the area right now, and there's some light showers on radar out in Lakes Country, and those are moving westward, and we don't see that too often. Area of low pressure down to our south, everything rotating counterclockwise around that. So we'll see some light showers, maybe even an embedded rumble of thunder if we see enough sunshine later this afternoon backing in from Lakes Country. And right now we've got a few of those showers just west of the FM area right now, so don't be surprised if we see a few light showers this morning, then we'll see a few breaks and more showers. And maybe, as I said, an embedded thunderstorm developing this afternoon. Highs in the low 70s today with light winds out of the southeast. For tonight, we'll shut the rain off for the most part with partly cloudy skies dropping off into the upper 40s. And tomorrow, again, about a 20% chance of an isolated pop-up shower, but nothing widespread with highs again in the low 70s. And then sunshine for the rest of the week. with highs in the upper 70s on Thursday. Hooky alert day on Friday. Friday is a beautiful one with highs in the low to mid 80s. And then the weekend's still looking good. Highs in the mid 80s with a slight chance of an isolated pop-up storm on Saturday. And Sunday looks dry. So more summer-like warmth heading our way. If you're a fan of the summer heat, sorry, Bonnie, it is heading our way. No widespread rain expected this week. Next week, that does change. I think we'll see a better chance for thunderstorms coming into the area Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Weather's brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:33. We've got a quick check of your national news. When we return, sports update from sports director Big Game James McCarty, and then Dean will return for your three-degree guarantee.
7:37, Wolves couldn't do it last night. Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Yeah, it was tough, man. I tell you what, when you shoot 51% from the field, 44% from three, and 79% from the free throw line, usually you think, hey, we won the ball game. Mm. Well, not when you give up 19 offensive rebounds and you turn over the ball 21 times. Yeah. That's a recipe for, well, in the Wolves' case, a two-point loss at home, 128-126 in game four of the Western Conference Final against the top-seeded Thunder, who now lead that best-of-seven series 3-1. Wednesday night, 7:30 in Oklahoma City on ESPN. It's an opportunity for the Wolves to either force the game six back home at the Target Center over the weekend, or Oklahoma City to punch their ticket to the NBA Finals for, what, the first time since, what would it be, 2012, I believe.
Something like that, they blew
a 3-1 lead in 2016 in the conference final to Golden State before the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead to the Cavs, weirdly enough. How about that over a three-week span?
I know, right?
A bunch of 3-1 leads being blown.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe history repeats itself this week.
One can only hope.
You need more enthusiasm out of that only hope, man.
My hope is dwindled because when you have the offensive game that the Wolves had last night, with the exception of Randall and Ant, quite honestly, when you have your bench finally step up and produce big-time minutes and big-time points, and you can't find a way to get a stop when you need it and you lose by two, I don't know what to tell you. It's not looking good.
Man, you are a buzzkill.
I know.
Wolves in seven. Last night, the Twins were in Tampa Bay. They gave up seven runs over two innings. They fall to the Rays 7-2 in that series opener. They will have game two of this set tonight at 6:05. Joe Ryan on the mound. This is the start of the longest road trip of the season thus far for the Twins, which is a 10-gamer, where after they leave here, they'll end up this weekend in Seattle for a weekend series before heading to Sacramento to play the A's. I got to make sure I don't get that wrong. You know, I got to make sure I get the right city with them. They're the A's, formerly of Oakland, futuristically of Vegas, and currently of Sacramento. I think that's how they should be labeled.
The Las Vegas Athletics of Sacramento, just like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yeah,
God, I still call them that. They've rebranded years ago to just the LA Angels, but all I remember as a kid growing up was the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And before that, it was the California Angels even. So I thought that was, they've rebranded three times in like 30 years, thinking about it now.
Yeah.
And I think they've been in the same ballpark the entire time. Maybe they had an old ballpark. Well, maybe they built the one they currently have.
They might have had a different one when they were still the California Angels. But yeah, when they got
the new, as far as I'm aware, that's the only ballpark I know of is the one that they have.
When they rebranded to the Anaheim Angels, and then they rebranded a second time to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, you're like, whatever. I mean, Anaheim, for all intents and purposes, is
the Mighty Ducks kicked them out. That's why they had to rebrand it to the L.A. Angels.
Well, the thing is to me, Anaheim is close enough to L.A. that, I mean, because you look at the New York Giants, New York Jets, they play in New Jersey. You know what I mean?
So, what?
So, I mean, if you want to call them L.A., that's fine, because I'm not,
Bills
I'm not from
Park.
The area. But, you know, there's like, you know, teams like that have adopted, you know, it used to be the New York Nets, then the New Jersey Nets, then they went moved to Brooklyn. Now they're the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. Just, if you're in Anaheim, just embrace it.
Exactly.
I don't know why
the
you
The Minneapolis
wouldn't.
Lakers play in L.A. now.
Exactly. The Minneapolis Lakers of Los Angeles.
That's what I'm going to start calling them from here on out.
You should do that.
And on the diamond as well last night, Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, as they continue their road trip, they win a pitcher's duel 3-1 over the Railcats. Excuse me. As Alex DuBord slammed the door shut with a ninth inning save, Redhawks, Railcats tonight, 6:45, game two of that three-game set. The Eastern Conference NBA Finals will continue tonight in Indiana as the Pacers take on the Knicks. Pacers with a 2-1 series lead. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on TNT. And in the NHL, you had the Eastern Conference Final with the Hurricanes snapping a 15-game conference final losing streak. I don't... Honestly, you can't even quantify the amount of just tough luck the Hurricanes have had in the conference final. I mean, how in the heck do you... You're that successful, and it's just hockey is a game of, man, why do the hockey gods hate us once we get to the Final Four? Mm-hmm. Regardless, the Hurricanes 3-0 over the Panthers. Florida still leads that series 3-1 in the Western Conference Final tonight in Edmonton. The Oilers, who have a 2-1 series lead, will host the Dallas Stars. Puck drops at 7 o'clock on ESPN for that one. And for the Bison baseball fans that were wondering where their beloved Bison will play in the national tournament, well, they're heading to Fayetteville, Arkansas to take on the third-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks on Friday at 2 o'clock in that Fayetteville Regional. The other two teams in that regional are two-seeded Kansas and three-seeded Creighton. They will play Friday at 7 o'clock. It's a double elimination four-team bracket for the right to go to next weekend's Super Regional and then an opportunity at possibly the College World Series if you're able to pull a couple of upsets. So we'll see how that all shakes out. That begins 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon in Fayetteville, Arkansas for the Bison.
All right, and good luck to them. It is 743. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 745, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right, so we're going back to yesterday. So
we took it off the website. You had 74.
Yeah, and we hit 76 yesterday. Oh. It was a nice day out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you thought it was warm, Bonnie, but it was
hot. Actually,
it was hot. Oh, gosh. Man, you'd never survive in Texas or Phoenix.
Nope.
I'll tell you, there's no way.
So there's a reason I moved out of Arizona, Dean.
See, it's a dry. I know people.
It's
laugh.
A dry.
It is a dry.
Heat. Yeah, they can have it.
It's much, much different than the heat we have in the Midwest, I'm telling you.
I know. Plus, I went to Georgia after living in Arizona and go from no humidity to all of the humidity.
And no
It was a big change.
Oh, man. If I had a hair, I'd have to worry about frizz hair, but I don't have to worry about that nowadays.
No, you don't.
Today we're going to go 73. We're in the low 50s right now this morning, and a lot of clouds around. There are a few showers on radar backing in from Lakes Country moving westward, so don't be surprised to see a few light showers this morning. Then I think we'll see a few breaks in the clouds, and that should allow us to warm up to about 73 today with light winds out of the southeast. And we're staying in the low 70s tomorrow. Again, a few isolated hit-or-miss showers, and then upper 70s Thursday, and then we're in the 80s Friday through the weekend. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee. I don't know if I'd book the mortgage on today's. I'm worried a little bit about the cloud cover, but I'd still go 73. We're going to go 73, and a pretty decent day. If you have outdoor plans, you might have to dodge a few raindrops.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Yeah, today's high, 73, and that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store. And speaking of Dean Wysocki, the Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee. Get to Tailgaters tonight because Dean was right. Once again, your first domestic pint is only $2 and $4 each after that. And you can enjoy live music on Friday nights at Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo.
Flatland Music Flashback, we do that every morning right around 6:56 here on Bonnie and Friends, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Tomorrow morning, we will be showcasing Ike and Tina Turner, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Pink Floyd, and Irene Cara. All that and more tomorrow morning right around 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback. Crazy story out of Florida. A guy high on meth, combative, out of control, ended up getting shot and killed. We'll talk more about that coming up next. 10 minutes in front of 8, Tuesday morning. Good morning to you. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Bonnie and Friends, Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. Deputies in Central Florida fatally shot a man believed to be on drugs. He charged after them he jumped into a lake infested with alligators. Arm got bit. Then he was chasing him around with garden shears. Just totally out of control and combative. Wouldn't listen to law officers' commands. and came after them. The sheriff says he doesn't know if it was suicide by cop or suicide by being absolutely out of your mind, high on meth. Two deputies shot and killed the guy. He was armed with these garden shears, and he started trying to get into their running patrol car, tried to take either a rifle or shotgun out of the squad car, too. Just insane. He even got bit by one of the alligators, yeah. Bit in the arm, and he still, he didn't tame down. He didn't comply with them and tried to attack them, and just he had a history of meth-related crimes, they say.
Just say no to drugs.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, what a story, though. He comes charging at the cops out of the little pond or lake area that has, it's known to be infested with
alligators. Lucky he didn't have a gator hanging from his arm when he did
He's
that.
Lucky he didn't get bit and rolled and taken down underneath. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure the gators probably taste him and said, this guy is high on meth. I don't want to eat that. I want to get high.
Obviously not in his right mind at all.
No. It's just another Florida man.
Is this common place down in Florida, or is that a movie reference?
No, it was a friend of mine who he would always do a spot on his podcast about Florida man. And
oh.
I mean, it's literally you just like I said before, you can type in Florida man and put a date, and you'll find something
like
stupid. And I mean, that's just another one. I mean, it's kind of mind boggling because you're just like, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, if you're high on meth, it's tough to make common sense. So.
A witness before the cops got there even tried to throw him a life vest, letting him know that was infested with gators,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't take it. And then he growled at the person when the person tried to talk to him.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, he lost his life. I mean, you don't know why he got to that point in his life, why he, you know, got addicted to meth, why he was so out of his gourd that he's swimming in crocodile or alligator waters, and
mm-hmm.
just, you know, then he tries to do something. Like you said, it kind of makes sense that maybe he was trying to, you know, commit suicide by cop or whatever to try and antagonize them or do enough stuff to make them fire upon him.
But it just goes to show how combative they are in our local law enforcement. They've had to deal with
mm-hmm.
people high on meth and other drugs and combative like that too. But
and I think crystal meth, that's the one though that they're just all amped up. I mean, they get really strong and they're hard to deal with, and so you end up taking lethal force with you know, people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
sad story. Mm-hmm. 7.53 unemployment rate, maybe near a 50-year low, but a new report shows the functional unemployment rate is much higher. What is that? We will tell you in your Money and Markets coming up next. 7.57, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning, kicking off a Memorial Day holiday shortened trading week. Today's open follows Friday's lower close on concerns about tariffs. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 256 points, the S&P 500 lost 39, and the NASDAQ was down 188 points.
The unemployment rate may be near a 50-year low, but a new report shows the functional unemployment rate is much higher. The Ludwig Institute for Shared Economic Prosperity looked at unemployed workers, people who can't find full-time employment, and people stuck in jobs where they can barely afford to live. Using those metrics, the report estimates the true unemployment rate is around 24%.
Hmm.
That's compared to the 4.2% most recently put out by the Labor Department.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, functional unemployment, if you have a job and you can't make ends meet or pay for a way to provide for yourself, I mean, that's not exactly the greatest job in the world there.
Yeah. I've never heard that term or that type of study done before. That is super interesting. SpaceX expects to launch its ninth Starship test later today. Company issued a warning about possible loud noises that might be heard in the area of the South Texas launch site. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk is also planning a company talk called The Road to Making Life Multiplanetary today. His comments will be live streamed on the SpaceX social media account. Life up there, right?
Possible loud noises.
You want to move?
No.
Upstairs?
No. The funny thing about the possible loud noises, haven't they had a number of their space tests explode?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is loud down there.
Union employees at Safeway and Albertsons grocery stores across Colorado are considering a strike after 8 months of contract negotiations.
UFCW Local 7 says the company is proposing lower wage increases, health care cuts, and pension reductions while backtracking on retroactive pay. Strike authorization meetings begin Friday with votes scheduled through early June. Safeway says it's negotiating in good faith and aiming for a fair deal. So we don't have any Albertsons or Safeway across the upper Midwest, but those are stores that I was familiar with when I lived farther south.
Those are big chains, no doubt about it. All right, got some rain potentially in the forecast later on today. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has details coming up. 8 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 801, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our forecast, and pretty soon those outdoor pools are going to be opening up.
Yep, pretty soon, and was it next weekend, Bonnie, for our area?
I haven't heard a date. Maybe there's been something out. I have not heard it, but, you know, it's warming up. It won't be long.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. In fact, we're looking at temperatures by the end of the week in the 80s, so more summer-like warmth heading our way. We got a few showers on radar right now in Lakes Country, and they're backing westward into the valley. So we'll see a few of those hit and miss showers throughout the day today. We're currently in the mid 50s across much of the area, and temperatures should make it into the low 70s today. Now, if we see enough sunshine as we head through the afternoon, we could pop off an isolated thunderstorm after about 3 o'clock. So keep an eye out for that if you're out and about today with light winds out of the southeast. Then tonight, we're dropping off into the upper 40s with light winds again tomorrow with highs in the low 70s, and again, an isolated pop-up shower can't be ruled out tomorrow. Then we'll stay dry Thursday and Friday with highs warming up into the upper 70s on Thursday, low 80s, low to mid 80s on Friday. And then over the weekend, we're looking at temperatures in the mid 80s. It's going to feel summer-like over the weekend with a slight chance of an isolated storm on Saturday. And then if you're wanting more widespread rain for your lawn or garden, that comes in Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, when we could see some strong to severe storms from from that storm Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And that'll be followed by cooler weather back into the 70s by the end of next week. So all in all, it's looking like a pretty decent-looking forecast. A little bit of rain, some warm summer-like temperatures, a little bit of something for everybody. And, you know, what are we on, a stretch of five? Going on 6 days of light winds around here, and that's unheard of.
Yeah, so, it's been nice not dealing with the winds.
Isn't it? I mean, what a great Memorial Day weekend. We had temperatures in the 70s, light winds, no rain. I mean, boy, it's it really was nice. Hopefully everybody got out to enjoy it, whether it's to the lakes or just spending time with family and remembering why we celebrate Memorial Day as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overall, I think very, very nice. Some people maybe would have liked it warmer for being
at the sure,
lake.
I'm sure, yeah, a little warmer to get in the pool or get into the lake, but it was still decent. Hey, we could have been dealing with rain and cruddy weather and windy conditions, and overall, it was pretty darn nice.
Warmer temps coming, does that mean we'll probably be seeing the mosquitoes after we have that rain?
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. Yeah, we haven't seen many yet, have we? It's been
maybe
nice
at the lake, yet. But not in town. Yeah. I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And I see Fargo Park pools open up June 9th, so not too far away.
Oh, so a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, when does usually Davies opens a little bit sooner? Do you have any?
That's June 9th, Davies.
Is that June 9th too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm looking right at it. Looks like most of them, Madison Pool, Roger Gress Northside Pool, Southwest Rec Pool, and Davies all June 9th, and then mid-June for the new Island Park Pool.
Bentley's gonna be mad at Dad. I told him it was next
weekend. Just a little off.
You might have to invite yourself over to Jay's pool.
No, their pump is broke, so.
Wow. Well, there's lakes. You can go find a lake. It's kind of cold, but you can probably find a lake for him.
He'll deal with it.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Life ain't fair, kid.
get used to it.
Exactly. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
805, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We are going to get your national news in now from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:09, time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. Well, there's always, Wednesday for the Timberwolves.
It's do or die at this point, now trailing 3-1. The Wolves shot 51% from the field, 44% from three, and 79% from the free throw line. But 21 turnovers would negate all of that in a 128-126 loss to the Thunder last night, who now control that series 3-1. The Wolves did end up with six players in double figures. Anthony Edwards had 16. He only had four in the first half. He only made one shot in the first half. He only had 5 points from Julius Randle in total. They were led by Nikhil Alexander-Walker's 23 points and six assists. And so the Wolves now with an opportunity to extend the series Wednesday night at 7:30 ESPN, and it'll be nationally televised on in Oklahoma City. Tonight, the New York Knicks trying to even up their series with the Pacers in Indiana, with the Pacers leading that series 2-1. Tip-off at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on TNT. In the NHL Conference Finals in the East, the Carolina Hurricanes snapping a 15-game Conference Final losing streak, defeating the Florida Panthers 3-0 last night. Florida still leads that series 3-1. Game 5 will be in Raleigh tomorrow evening. And the Oilers will host the Stars in Edmonton tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Game coverage available nationally on ESPN. That fourth game of that series has the Oilers currently leading 2-1. And Bison Baseball, after winning the Summit League tournament over Oral Roberts this past weekend, they punched an automatic bid into the NCAA Baseball National Tournament and Regionals, and they will end up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, to take on the region's top seed and the third overall national seed at Arkansas Razorbacks at 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon in Fayetteville. Then in the evening, the other two teams in that four-team regional will be a two-seeded Kansas against three-seed Creighton. That'll be 7 p.m. Central Time for that matchup. It's a double elimination at this point. Whoever wins this regional will go to the Super Regional next weekend, which features eight different best-of-three series for the right to go and be one of eight final teams left in the NCAA tournament, where the Men's Baseball College World Series will take place in Omaha beginning 2 weeks from Friday. And running out sports here this hour, primetime sports tonight at 6:30. Jason and I don't know. We're going to have to kickstart the Timberwolves somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Or give our thoughts at least to maybe the offseason that's upon us pretty darn close. Yeah. We'll see. But the Wolves, an opportunity to try and do something that I can never recall them doing, which is overcoming a 3-1 deficit. And you know what? If Golden State can do it against a Oklahoma City team that had two MVPs and multiple championship winners, and then LeBron can do it in Cleveland with a bunch of guys that look like Jace and I think there's an opportunity for the Wolves to possibly try and do it as well beginning tomorrow night.
Maybe they're just playing us. They're sandbagging because they just want to raise our blood pressure.
They want to have a dramatic
combat. They do a heck
combat.
Of a job at that. Very much, yeah. That's oof.
It's disappointing because we do have good players, but they just aren't always gelling at the same time.
Well, here's the thing.
That
last
is
night,
very true.
James, you pointed out the stats, how the Timberwolves shot last night.
Yeah, they shot and very, very well, but the turnovers negated that.
Well, the turnovers negated it because guess what? Oklahoma City shot basically the same percentage as the Wolves did. So all the good things that we did were basically negated by our mistakes. And
if I remember correctly, it was around 10 more shots Oklahoma City got than us.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna make a big difference there as well. So it's just unfortunate, and you know, you sort of felt like, you know, after the first two rounds, now granted, maybe things would have been different had Steph Curry not gotten injured in that game one. Maybe the Wolves would not have made a pass out of the second round. But when you get to the finals and you split with the team in the regular season, you think you'd be able to find a way to get wins and you know, push it to 6-7 games, and
you
right now it doesn't look like it.
Playing your best ball of the season, and these past couple of weeks, they really haven't been overall playing their best ball.
No.
I mean, they've played very sloppy the last 3 weeks since the postseason started, so it's pretty impressive that they're where they're at, honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys like grape, like fake grape, you know, like grape pop, that kind
like
of grape?
The purple juice?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't, like, actively really seek it out.
I never, like, cared for grape so much. That wasn't like a pop I wanted to drink when I was a kid. It's National Grape Day, by the way, and also National Grape Popsicle Day. I don't 100% believe how the popsicle was invented. They say one day way back when in San Francisco, An 11-year-old boy mixed some ingredients together to make a soda. He accidentally left it outside overnight with a stirring stick still in it. This is San Francisco, okay?
Yeah.
Come the next morning, little Frank Epperson was onto something. Years later, in 1922, he sought a patent for a frozen treat, which he called an Epsicle, named after him. He later went on to name it Popsicle. It doesn't get that cold in San Francisco, so I think
Hey.
Does it?
It's usually in the summertime. It seems like you'll have some cold, rainy days with that wind coming off the
ocean.
But
cold enough to freeze a beverage?
That would be my thing that I have an issue with. I mean, does it get cold there relative to, obviously, other parts of the summer? Sure, absolutely it does. But as far as freezing temperatures, that would have to be on a rare occasion.
Yeah, I don't know. It might of it might be true in the fact that he invented it, but how it got
invented. Yeah, we were like an hour north of San Francisco or thereabouts, and so there were days that it would be fairly cool and you'd be able to have the fireplace going and things like that. But as far as dropping down to freezing, I don't know. Maybe it got cold enough to make it slushy or something, and he continued that thought process to make the popsicle, but maybe. I'm not sure.
Nonetheless, supposedly,
he was just from San Francisco originally, and he had moved to North Dakota.
No, I mean,
because that would get you to have some stuff froze.
I'm only going by what the story says. I know you have a great obsession with Mudeng, Jimmy. You love Mudeng.
Well, everybody does, don't they?
Yeah, the little pygmy hippo.
Little hippopotamus.
I thought
you know who Mudeng is?
I thought you were talking
Mudeng.
About
Mudeng.
I thought
go watch the video, buddy.
I thought you were talking about a nice piece of jewelry that changes color based on your
mood ring. That's mood. A mood ring. No, this is Mudeng.
No, Mudeng is way more valuable.
Cute little pygmy hippo. You haven't seen Mudeng?
No, I've seen
Mudeng can't be that little anymore.
Well, he's a hippo,
But it's a pygmy hippo, so they stay little.
So it's short.
They
stay
smaller.
Yeah. Smaller-ish.
Yeah.
Compared
How big is Mudeng now?
I don't know, but there's the oldest living captive pygmy hippopotamus lives in San Diego. It's not Mudeng either. Her name is Hannah. Hannah Shirley. She's got a middle name, too.
Oh, she good is, for her.
Hannah Shirley is 51 years, 6 months, and 3 days old this week. They say it makes her the oldest pygmy hippopotamus ever in a managed care setting.
I'm glad they're keeping track of something like that.
Days are important.
That sort of sounds like those baseball stats you hear about. He's batting .281 with runners on second and third on Tuesday nights with a full moon and partly cloudy skies.
Kind of like that, yeah. In the wild, pygmy hippopotamuses can live about 30 to 50 years. Oh, so she's outlived if she was out in the wild, which she's living a good life. I mean, they feed her. They probably hose her down, give her a bath.
Sure. I bet you they're probably pretty wild. They're probably pretty much party animals.
Good one. Dad joke. Mm-hmm. Hannah Shirley, the pygmy hippopotamus, has been at the Ramona Wildlife Center in Ramona, California for 23 years. She was found in a backyard in Escondido, California.
That poor hippo is probably like, what have I done and when am I getting out of jail?
I wonder how much she weighs. I mean, that's a personal question. I might offend her.
Yeah, especially you don't ask ladies how much they weigh.
How much? Okay, I have to Google that. How much do pygmy hippos
typically weigh?
About 2 feet. At birth, they weigh between 10 and 14 pounds.
Oh, it's just
the
baby.
Is that just Mudeng or all of them?
That's a pygmy hippo.
Mm-hmm. What's the answer, Bonnie?
Well, I'm still getting there. Jimmy distracted me.
Well, that's because he's Googling.
Oh, they can get up to 350 to 600 pounds.
About 350.
350. But a regular hippo, do you know how much a regular
tons? I don't know, a ton.
Honestly, it's got to be like 1,500 pounds.
Yeah. No, double or maybe even more than that, 3,000 to 4,000 pounds.
Whoa, so it is 2 ton.
Good Lord!
That's why they call them tons of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if fun's the word.
Just feed them and keep them happy.
Yeah, don't have it charge you or sit on you.
Well, like you see them, like you toss a watermelon into their mouth and they just crush it effortlessly how small it looks compared.
Yeah,
they can get up to 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, and hippos can be kind of they can be kind of mean, can't they? Out in the wild.
Oh yeah, they can. They'll charge
is that
you
just like
you.
Your traditional hippo? Or is it also the pygmies?
No, I don't know. Well, the
pygmies are smaller. They're happier.
Yeah, and I wonder if Mudeng
500 pounds. What'd you say to me?
I wonder if Mudeng likes being on camera. They say the pygmy hippopotamus is recluse. They're reclusive and nocturnal. They probably don't like being on camera, but whoever owns Mudang.
But if you're a social media influencer like Mudang, I'm sure you probably
you have to suck it up for your fans.
You have to be on camera every day and put out some content, otherwise people won't subscribe.
Wouldn't that be something, owning an animal who does all the hard work, yet you, the owner, gets to keep all the money you're making off becoming a viral sensation?
Yeah, well, I guess I need to put in some social media work with my dog, I guess.
Oh, speaking of dogs.
Dogs!
Did you know, well, it doesn't surprise me, I guess. A new study finds if you're stressed out and you're bringing your work stress home with you, you could be affecting your dog at home.
Well, obviously, because if you're stressed from work and you're in a bad mood, there are a lot of people that will end up taking it out on their pets. And a lot of times, you know, if you're
depressed or sad
or something, obviously your dog can sense that and kind of help cheer you up. But sometimes, yeah, if you're stressed and you bring that home, it could definitely affect your dog's, you know.
They don't say anything here about, you know, abusing your dog because you're stressed out at work. But the stress that you have, your dog picks up on it, and then they become stressed out. They might be whining. They might be pacing. They might be restless based on you.
I could see that. That could happen.
I suppose, if you kind of think of it, maybe if you have kids and you're stressed out at work and you bring that home, of course it's going to affect your kids. Why not affect your pets like that, too?
If you have a stressful relationship somewhere in your life and then you come home or you're, say, you're like you have like work stress and you come home to your significant other, I mean, that can affect your mood because maybe you're a little bit short. You're a little bit snippy with them. Maybe you're just irritated more easily. And so then that, you know, that mood can obviously affect how things are going at home. And then all of a sudden you kind of pass off some of that negative energy over to your spouse. And then all of a sudden maybe they take it out on the kids or the mailman or something like that. And then just kind of is a vicious whole sequence of events.
Can the two of you try not to stress me out over the next couple of months? Because I'm going to have a dog again come next week.
Over the next couple of months, you're gone for half of it.
No, I'm just gone for 3 days. Odin's coming back with me.
That
3 days,
feels like half.
It's going to be like 2 weeks to me and James.
We're going to be like trying to like crawl out of the studio by the time you get back.
Should I bring Odin in?
That would probably make me happy.
He is like the biggest sweet. He looks tough because he's an old English bulldog, but he is the biggest sweetheart. He has anxiety though, but he's fine.
He'll be fine here. Are you saying that we give people anxiety? You think that we ramp it up?
Just bring it up a notch?
Sometimes I think
we don't wind each other up.
Not at all.
We don't wind each other up.
We stay calm.
Well, I don't need to get my granddog already has anxiety. I don't need him stressed out on top of it. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He can hang out in the office with us and smoke cigars and drink booze.
You would love him. He is just the biggest.
Here's a question for you guys. Are you a fan or do heights freak you out?
You know, I used to like heights. It never bothered me when I was a kid. We'd re-roof and be up on the top of the roof or whatever. But as I've gotten older, I mean, kind of. It's just like it kind of makes my stomach lurch a little bit
really?
If I'm up high on things.
Interesting.
I don't mind heights, but at the same point, I don't actively seek it out, if that makes sense, right? Like, you know, if we're, you know, you're up in a large building, you're five, six, seven stories up, it doesn't bother me much of it all, even if I'm, you know, looking over the railings, things of those sorts. But at the same point, I'm not going to actively be like, you know what would be really cool right now is if we just leaned over to the edge, you know, type of thing.
Well, there's a new travel experience in China these days.
No.
It offers thrill-seeking tourists a chance to sleep while suspended more than 320 feet off the ground.
No.
What do you mean by suspended?
Attached to the side of a vertical cliff.
People do that. No. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They have these transparent pods called sky beds.
Yep.
And so they're anchored to a sheer rock face, providing views of the surrounding forested landscape and the deep drop below. To reach the pods, though, guests must climb a steel ladder affixed to the cliff, navigating more than 300 steps while secured with a harness. Once inside the pod, visitors enclosed in a clear structure with minimal bedding and lighting to emphasize the dramatic surroundings. So basically, you're trying to get the feel of just being on the side of the cliff. You know how you see those
people in
those
tents? Feel of what was that documentary where the guy he free climbed
Well, some people do that. They're like extreme athletes.
Is that the one where he got caught and he had to cut off his own arm? That one?
No, it was just where the heck was it? It was out west. It was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh yeah.
It was a documentary they did. It was like an hour and a half long.
Don't remember it. But yeah, I mean there's mountain climbers that do that and they sleep like in
their tent. They have a little tent and a
Yeah, no, thanks. This one's supposed to be more safe,
Bonnie, because you got a harness to climb up the ladder and you get in your little pod and they close the door.
Are you harnessed the entire time?
Not once you're in the pod. Then you can move around the
pod.
What
if the mountain gives way? What if you have a landslide? There you go. Bye-bye.
It's a sheer rock wall, though, Bonnie. It's not just a mountain. It's not a mudslide area.
How about you first, and then James and I will think about it.
All right. It'd just be a nice scenic area. You get to take in the sights and have some nice time to just sit there and look at the beauty of nature. And
I'll watch videos of people doing that, but that's not for me.
What, Jimmy?
Free Solo.
Free Solo?
That's what it was. Free Solo. It was a documentary in 2018, and he, I'm probably using the wrong word, but he free climbed basically Yosemite National Park in California.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Just without a harness or anything, just
there are some people that
and there's a whole documentary like leading up to it and doing it, and I was watching it. Like, I got like real clammy hands. I was starting to sweat a little bit. I was freaking out.
Are you
man.
One of those people, James, that are sitting at home when this person goes underwater? You hold your own breath when they're in a water situation.
I still hold my breath when I go underneath a bridge when I'm driving a vehicle. My parents always told me to make sure I was prepared, man.
I thought you were going to say you held your breath when you took a shower or something. You know, getting in the water.
No, I got a snorkel for that.
8:25. Time now to head to the American Ag Network. 8:28, Money and Friends winding down the coffee club. In studio with us this morning, Janae and Ronnie. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. That's exactly what Anthony Edwards was last night. Not Joe Man.
Exactly. That's for sure. The whole team. Randall didn't show up either.
Yeah, I don't know. I had my fingers crossed we could feed off the crowd, tie the game at home. I mean,
that would have been ideal.
They didn't play horribly. It's
lots
just
of turnovers.
Oklahoma City stepped up their game
well,
for sure.
I told James, if you look at the stats, you know, shooting percentage wise, basically the two teams were identical. Yeah. So it really comes down to the extra turnovers that they had. So
yeah, what was it, 23, 24?
We had 21, but we had 19 of them in the first three quarters. Yeah. So it was less than ideal. And if you watch enough NBA basketball, you could tell, and Bonnie knew it as well as I did going into halftime, that the game wasn't trending the right way.
No,
so
it's
unfortunate because it's been a great season, especially with a nice playoff run, but, you know, it's going to come to an end very soon.
We'll see what they can do Wednesday. All right. Yeah. What are the two of you doing on the show today?
Well, we weren't here yesterday, but we're going to do small business today anyway, and we're going to have the Shea West Garden Center with us. And then Tuesday is nonprofit the day, so we're also doing our nonprofit as well, thanks to the Luther Family Ford. United Way, they started the backpack thing, so we're going to talk about the backpacks today.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Coffee Club. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right. You betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. They are coming up next.